Honorable members and officials from the department, I would like to take this opportunity to welcome you all and declare this meeting officially opened. It is with sense of sadness that I should report to this committee that three members of our portfolio committee are not well, chairperson included. Two of them are hospitalized, Mrs. Lovemore and Mr. J.J. Skosana. So on behalf of this committee, I would like to really wish them a speedy recovery. As you would all know that cooperative government issues are a critical component of the work of Water Affairs, it was therefore necessary to invite regional offices to come and brief us on the support that they are providing to municipalities in enhancing their skills and capacity. Therefore, today we will deal with the three remaining provinces, which is Limpopo, Eastern Cape, and Western Cape. I will therefore request Mambaza, who is the head of this delegation from the department, to introduce her delegation. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, good morning, and thank you for inviting us to the committee to come and share with you the work that we're doing with local government, as the Chair has already indicated. Not only that, but also the challenges that we are facing, and we're hoping that, as usual, you will provide us with a guidance where it is required. Chair, we have three regions here. Western Cape, headed by Rashid Khan, sitting right behind me. I'm not sure why he's sitting at the back. And you also have Phumzaka Salubelwane, the director in the regional office, sitting right next to me. The head of the Eastern Cape region, Nomonde Mnukwa, and she's accompanied by Galelo Mbambisa and Andrew Lucas, sitting right there. And then Mr. Alson Matukane, the head of Limpopo region, and he's here alone. Chair, as usual, the regional heads have put a lot of work into the presentation. I'm a little bit worried that they are too long. I think in an attempt to give you all the information and to illustrate that they are working hard, they went overboard. So I will require them to really try and focus on what is key and not go through all the presentations and allow enough time for discussion. Over to you, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Mambaza. I will then request the members of Parliament to also introduce themselves so that you can know whom you are speaking to. Myself, I'm Masam Mipit Matebe. I'm the acting chair and the whip of the committee.
I'm Beautiful Fulani from Eastern Cape. I'm Hilda Ndu, the member of the Portfolio Committee representing the Congress of the People.
Konizi Galala from Gauteng.
Catherine Mabuza from Yumpo.
I'm a visitor into this committee.
I'm Zugile Luyenge from the ANC.
Good morning, Chairperson, officials. I'm Gareth Morgan from the Democratic Alliance, KwaZulu-Natal.
Thank you, members. Without any waste of time, I will then request Mrs. Nomonde Nugwa from the Eastern Cape to present.
Good morning, Chair, Honourable Members. Good morning. Thank you. I will just go straight to slide number one. Just an introduction to the Eastern Cape, that it is a province with a population of 6.5 million people. It has got 45 municipalities in total. It is among the top three poorest provinces in the country, and most people are in rural areas. The major urban centers is only Port Elizabeth, East London, and then there's a little bit of bigger towns, Queenstown and Umtata. Out of the 45 municipalities existing in the province, we have 6 district municipalities, 1 metro, 1 city, and 37 local municipalities. And then out of that total of 45, we have 7 municipalities declared or given the function of being water services authorities. Of those, it is the 6 districts, 1 city, 1 metro, and all local municipalities of the Gqeberha District Municipal Area. Quickly getting to the achievements that the department... Quickly getting to the achievements that the department has realized in the Eastern Cape. Between 1995 and 2004, the department has funded 499 projects, water and sanitation projects, with a value of 2.6 billion. The department, in preparation of the transfer of powers and functions to the municipalities, in preparation of the transfer of powers and functions to the municipalities, has provided between 2000 and 2008 a sum of 24 million in capacity building of the municipalities that were delegated to perform the water and sanitation functions, which are the 17 water services authorities. And in that, there were staff members that were employed, particularly by the department, in those institutions, and also funding issues like policies, bylaws. And then due to the transfers of powers and functions from the department to the local government, the department has transferred 601 staff workforce to 5 district municipalities, that would be OR Tambo, Alfred Nzo, Ukahlamba, Krisani, Amathole and Buffalo City Municipality. And in that is allocated 714 million between 2002 up to 2014 in terms of paying the salaries of the staff, in terms of training the staff members, and also in refurbishing the infrastructure that was transferred. The department has also established Amatola Water Board and Albany Coast Water Board. And on an annual basis, there's 31 million that is being allocated to these institutions for operational purposes. Also, in the five district municipalities, excluding Gqeberha, there's been an allocation of 18 million for the management systems in the municipalities. Chair, if you allow me, in the interest of time that has been referred to by the Deputy Director General, I would like to skip to slide number 7, which is page 5, slide 1 of page 5 in the documents, because the other slides, they are detailing what I've already spoken to. Slide number 7. Okay, the institutions that have been established by the department, that is the Amatola Water Board and the Albany Coast Water Board, have also succeeded in assisting the municipalities in performing their functions. The Amatola Water Board is the bulk services provider for Amatola District Municipality and Buffalo City Municipality. Also, it is providing support services functions to Krisani, to Ukahlamba, and to O.R. Tambo Municipality. The Albany Coast Water Board is assisting in provision of services in part of the Ndlambe local municipality. And due to the water scarcity in South Africa and as a country being amongst the water scarce countries, this institution has managed to operate a reverse osmosis type of a technology in providing water to those areas. Also, the department has been involved in provision of water and sanitation to the clinics in the province. There's 214 clinics that have been provided with water and sanitation services in 2007-2008 financial year to the value of 43 million. The department is also involved in counselor induction programs since 2005, and there's a blend one that is coming as well. On a yearly basis, we normally do the refresher. The department also has funded business plans to Krisani District Municipality, O.R. Tambo, Alfonso, Nelson Mandela, and part of O.R. Tambo in coming up with business plans for water conservation and demand management. The department is continuously providing support and guidance to the Port Elizabeth Regional Chamber of Commerce and Industry in terms of the water conservation and demand management. We have a very successful project that we have implemented at Ndlambe, a local municipality, to the value of 700,000, whereby local people were trained as local plumbers, and some of them to continuously create awareness amongst the communities of Ndlambe, a local municipality, on saving of water, which is water conservation and demand management. In 2008-2009, the department has provided water and sanitation facilities in 81 schools to the value of 69 million across the province. And also, we have assisted the Kokama and the Ikwezi municipality on water quality monitoring through the Amatola Water Board. In the past financial year, our Working for Water program, which is more dealing with resource management, poverty alleviation, and climate change mitigation, we have seen the employment of 4,667 people, 56% of them being females and 24% of them being youth, and then 19% people living with disabilities, and 20 of those people being the war veterans in the East London area. We have cleared 44,871 hectares of invasive alien plants, and we have facilitated the registration of 3 cooperatives in the province, with one cooperative, which is the Gladbeck Community Corporation, successfully got a tender from Department of Public Works in the East London area. And Ikamanga co-op as well in Ikala area, whereby they've because it's a tourist area, they've hosted 20 American guests in the past financial year. We also are conducting a water quality and microbiological monitoring in 35 rivers in the province, and we also monitor the ecological health of the 26 rivers in the province. We have a program that is called Vision 2020, which is targeting the youth, particularly in schools. We work together with the Department of Education. And in the past financial year, we have reached 920 schools in the province. It's more on creating awareness on water, sanitation, and forestry careers, conserving the resources, water, and the time when we were with forestry, also a forestry as a resource. And we have, as a province, managed to have out of the 920 schools. There's also national competitions that take place, and one of our schools in Montfrey became position number one in the national Baswali Metsi competition, and they've received a IT infrastructure from MTN. And in the South African Water Youth Prize, we have also had one of our schools in the Gagadu district, which got number two in the national. And then in terms of monitoring of the drinking water quality, that is being done by the municipalities, but as a department we monitor, we have seen an improvement in terms of compliance of drinking water. In terms of the department also implementing the government priorities, in the 2007-2008-2009 financial year, we have funded for 9 million in the districts of OR Tambo, Alfrenzo, and Amatole District Municipality, a project that is aiming at training the community members at a household level and providing the infrastructure for a household irrigation to ensure food security. We have also assisted the Buffalo City Municipality, OR Tambo, Alfrenzo, Krisani, and Ukahlamba in establishment of sanitation resource centers, whereby a number of sanitation facility options are being installed there so that the community members can have a choice and education can also continue, and appropriate technology manuals as well. We have a program that seems that is aimed at ensuring the safety of our dams. And in the 2008-2009 financial year, we have spent 6 million in rehabilitation of the Belford Dam, which is in the Alfrenzo District Municipality. And we have provided 1.3 million on the operation and maintenance of both the Belford and the Ntenekiana Dam in the Alfrenzo District Municipality. We have also rehabilitated the Goa and the Tholeni dams in the Amatole District Municipality to the value of 50 million. And there's also a Khamdu scheme that seeks to rehabilitate dams around Gagadu and Nelson Mandela. That project is due to be completed this financial year to the value of 150 million. The department in responding to the challenges of scarce skills and the plants being operated by the unqualified water or plant operators, we have trained 146 process controllers, and they've been placed in Ukahlamba District Municipality, and that 26th place in Ukahlamba District Municipality has been absorbed by the municipality as part of the permanent workforce in the municipality. Some have been placed in Alfrenzo and others in OR Tambo District Municipality. I will also, Chair, if you allow me, skip the two slides that are talking about the sanitation master plans that have been developed for the municipalities. They are at various stages, and get to the provision of free basic services. The department has assisted and funded the municipalities, all 17 water services authorities, to develop free basic services provision policies. I think I should note, I should also indicate that not all water services authorities are providing free basic water, which is our intervention for this financial year. And some are providing basic services to all people, not only to the indigent. So it's also part of our way forward in this financial year. We are also working very close with the, at the time it was Department of Provincial and Local Government, and the Provincial Department of Local Government and Traditional Affairs to guide the special intervention that has been given to Kokama and Lambe Municipality on the provision of free basic services. I must say also, Chair, that due to the backlogs in the Eastern Cape, not all people are being provided by free basic services, as there is no infrastructure in some communities to do so. The department also has been involved in the refurbishing of the irrigation schemes. These are particularly in the Chrisani District Municipal Area and are being refurbished, some with the, in partnership with the Eastern Cape Department of Agriculture and some with the Eastern Cape Development Agency. And on the Shiloh irrigation scheme, the department has spent 15 million in refurbishing that irrigation scheme. And in the Kamata irrigation scheme, we have spent 30 million. And in the Noha irrigation scheme, we spent 5 million, but there's budgeted 40 million because the project is due to complete by 2012. On the special programs that the department is involved in, I have mentioned the provision of water and sanitation infrastructure in schools. In this current financial year, we have 79 million to provide water and sanitation in schools in the Eastern Cape in 183 schools. And we have negotiated an implementing agreement with Amadola Water Board and Vula Trust on behalf of the Department of Education due to capacity constraints to ensure that these 183 schools are provided with water and sanitation by 2010. The department has also assisted the municipalities to have bulk infrastructure programs. And the five district municipalities, excluding the Kakabik district municipality, they've already adopted the bulk water plans. These, though, as part of what I will refer to at the end, are going to be updated to ensure that they are in line or they are aligned with the provincial growth and development strategy. And they are talking to the availability of water as a resource in those areas. And they also talk to the funding requirements. And as a department, we are also assisting the municipalities in reviewing their technical reports that they put through the Municipal Infrastructure Grant for funding. And in the 2008-2009, we have recommended for funding 75 water projects to the value of 780 million, sanitation, 125 sanitation projects to the value of 932 million. The institutions in the province that are involved in the delivery of water services, I will start with Amadola Water Board, which is providing bulk water services to Buffalo City and Amatole District Municipality, and it is providing the management support to Amatole District, Chrisani District, Ukashamba District, and OR Tambo District in terms of our bulk infrastructure program. The Albany Coast Water Board that is providing water in other areas of Ndlambe local municipality. The Lower Sandys River Water User Association that is providing water to Sandys River Valley Municipality, to the Ado community, and to the irrigation citrus farmers around the Sandys River area for irrigation purposes. The Khamtus Irrigation Board provides water to Kuka Municipality and irrigation water to citrus farmers around the Kuka Municipality. The Great Fish Water User Association that provides irrigation water to citrus farmers in the Somerset East and Cookhouse area. And then the Cut River Valley Water User Association that provides irrigation water to citrus farmers in the Fort Beaufort, Simo, and surrounding areas. We also have the IGR structures, if I may say, in departmental institutions, the Coordinating Committee for Agricultural Water, whereby the Department of Agriculture, the Department of Land Affairs, and the Department of Water Affairs, they sit and try to fast-track the provision of water rights for irrigation purposes. The Licensing Authorization Action Committee that also is formed by the department and the forest sector to ensure the licensing process for the forest sector. The MUNIMEC, whereby the MEC for local government, the mayors of all municipalities, the provincial departments, and also us as a department, we sit to deliberate on a number of things, particularly on the local government issues, which most of them involved provision of water and sanitation services. The MUNIMEC also is linked to the provincial clusters and also reports directly to the Premier Coordinating Forum. So the whatever that is being discussed in the agenda of the MUNIMEC, it goes to the Premier Coordinating Forum and also to the clusters of the province. We also have various specific task teams that seeks to assist municipalities in a number of things. We have asset management task team, skills development task team, revenue management task team, and the backlog task team. Those ones are formed by the provincial departments, the water affairs, the municipalities, the water boards, and SALCA. We also have Eastern Cape Water Committee that is chaired by SALCA and supported technical support by the department, whereby all municipalities and the water sector will meet and discuss pertinent issues to the water sector, and we also use it as a forum for information dissemination. It sits on a quarterly basis. We have recently launched the Provincial Water Forum because in the agenda of the MUNIMEC, it was obvious that we cannot deliberate fully on the water issues. So a Provincial Water Forum was launched to ensure that the water issues are being discussed and resolutions are found, and then it will fit to the MUNIMEC agenda. We have the Environmental Education Forum that is formed by the Department of Education, the Department of Water Affairs, the Department of Environmental Affairs and Economic Development in the province. That ensures advocacy for environmental learning in schools. We also have Provincial Sanitation Task Team. Our province is highly rural, and we have high backlogs, and therefore we need to talk about the issues of ensuring a continuous health and hygiene awareness in the communities, particularly the unserviced one. We also have Basic Services Management Committee that looks at the health and hygiene issues and operation and maintenance issues, particularly on the infrastructure that we have provided in the clinics and in the schools. The interventions that we are planning as a department as per our strategic plan is to strengthen our regulation, is to enhance our capacity building, but we are saying it will respond to regulation gaps that are being identified. So it will be a regulatory support. The special programs, our provision of water and sanitation in schools, the regional park infrastructure program, the water availability strategies and the river health program, and also the provincial agrarian and rural development, whereby we are going to be providing rainwater harvesting tanks, particularly to the municipalities that have been identified, the ones that have been identified as the poorest ones in the province, that is aligned to the war on poverty. If I can talk to the access to water, we have a backlog of 4.7 million people in the province. The current funding required to meet the Millennium Development Goals is 10.6 billion, and what is available is 1.4 billion. The expenditure at a local government level in 2006-2007, we saw on the MIG budget 52% being utilized for water and sanitation services. And out of that, in 2006-2007, 87% was spent. In 2007-2008, it was 55% of the MIG budget, and there was 91% expenditure on that one. And then in 2008-2009, 51% of the MIF budget went to water and sanitation services, and there was 96% expenditure. And in terms of sanitation, we have 966,000 households that still need to be served, particularly at an RDP level. And the required funding is 2.8 billion to meet the Millennium Development Goals, and what is available is 358 million. There were drought interventions by the department to all municipalities that are water services authorities in 2007-2008 for an amount of 36.4 million. Currently, we are having a program that seeks to deal with water security planning in the province. We have the Algoa Reconciliation Study, which is focusing on water availability for Nelson Mandela Metro Municipality. That study is funded for 4.7 million, is due to be completed in 2010. And then there's Amatole Reconciliation Study that is looking at ensuring future water availability for Buffalo City Municipality and the closer areas of Amatole District Municipality. The study is at 3 million, is due to be completed in 2010. We also have what we call All Towns Reconciliation Study that looks at ensuring water availability in 134 towns and 2,600 villages in the province. The study has already commenced for an amount of 4.9 million, is due to be complete by 2011. The department this financial year has provided a funding of 94 million to various municipalities. This talks more on the issues that have been picked up during the regulation process, but also seeks to support the municipalities in meeting the Millennium Development Goals. There's 94 million allocated, and it will be spent within the 2009-2010 municipal financial year. And out of that, we have projects that are providing new access to the people who are not served. We have projects that are ensuring that the pollution through the wastewater treatment works. There's refurbishment of that infrastructure, plus also water conservation and demand management to the Nelson Mandela Metro Municipality, which is currently has a water loss of approximately 29%. So in that amount, we're looking at dealing with those. The department also has got a program called the Regional Bulk Infrastructure Program, whereby in 2007-2008, an amount of 47.4 million was provided to municipalities for bulk infrastructure. And 2008-2009, 76.8 million, and currently we have 138 million. Out of that, it also includes planning feasibility studies for those projects. So we saw the first scheme that was initiated in Krisani in 2007-2008, and then this second scheme, the Mtata water scheme, and then we have five schemes that are starting this financial year. In regulation, we have issued pre-directives to Kokama Municipality in February this year for pollution, and to OR Tambo District Municipality in October 2008 for pollution in the Mtata town. There's been interventions and following those pre-directives. In Kokama, the DPLG and the Kwazulu District Municipality, they provided support, with DPLG providing an amount of 140 million for refurbishment of the infrastructure, sewerage infrastructure in Kokama. And the project is due to be completed in 2009-2010. In OR Tambo District Municipality, the province provided 10.6 million. And out of that, we have seen 6 pumps of the 17 pumps that were not working being repaired and refurbished. And then the department has also provided 26 million for Mtata bulk scheme, which we are hoping is going to be completed by the end of this financial year. And the district municipality has recently, in the few weeks, purchased also standby generators, because the other challenge is when there is no electricity in Mtata town, it affects the provision of water services as well. as a department, out of the 94 million that I was talking about, the 25 million is going to OR Tambo District Municipality to refurbish the Mthatha sewerage infrastructure. The challenges faced by the province in terms of water and sanitation are the lack of engineering, including planning engineers and geohydrologists, to ensure that the water resources are continuously monitored and measures are put in place prior to the drought striking, and the technical skills. The institutional arrangements and capacity to perform the water services authority and water service provider functions is one area that we have realized, particularly in the OR Tambo District Municipality, whereby there's a conflict, if I may say, between the local municipalities and the district. And also the municipalities that have been given the function of water services authority. We see them juggling being a water services authority and being water services provider at the same time, and that affects any of the functions being performed in excellence. Also in terms of legislation, as a department, we cannot just intervene. We have to work through the Department of Provincial and Local Government, and after all those processes, and then we can see the intervention of the department. I mean in terms of punitive measures and etc. But we are continuously doing our regulations and at the same time providing support, because as per the protocol, we need to provide support prior to us taking municipalities to court, and then we can prove beyond reasonable doubt that we have supported the municipalities. The province generally has a reliance on the grants. The majority of the municipalities are not self-sustainable. They highly depend on grants. There's dilapidated infrastructure, and there's challenge in meeting the Millennium Development Goals looking at the current funding streams. We have stressed water sources due to limited rainfall that we are seeing in the previous 2 years, and it has been predicted also in this year. But also, it's in line with the issue of the municipalities not having geohydrologists, so that the water sources can be monitored continuously. Holistic integrated planning as well is one of the challenges, because the districts, most of the time, the water services authorities and the local municipalities, they deal with development and etc. And there's no integration to talk with the provision of water and sanitation services to the planned developments during the planning stages. We also have a challenge whereby, as a department, we are owed tariffs in terms of the raw water provision that we provide to the municipalities, and it's currently sitting at 232.9 million by various municipalities. The province in the last week of July, we had a provincial water in Daba that seeked to look at the challenges that we are facing as a province and say, what is it that we can do to ensure that we come up with our own solutions? Part of the resolutions was that there should be a development of the provincial water plan that will talk to the resources required for the province to perform the function of water and sanitation with excellence at a local government level, and therefore be the plan to be used to enable resource mobilization, both human resources and financial resources. To strengthen also the regulation at a local government level, because by the virtue of being a water services authority, those municipalities have got a regulation role that they have, which is currently not taking place. So we want to strengthen both the regulation role of the water services authorities and thus of the department, and also to strengthen the intergovernmental relations, particularly the role of the province on the water issues, because they are more closer than the national department. And also coming up with solutions that would see water being an enabler in meeting the government plan of action. And part of the provincial water in Daba, there was an issue of drought in the province, whereby the provincial plan has currently been approved, and the premier has signed the declaration. It was supposed to be gazetted today. Chair, thank you very much. In terms of the Eastern Cape issues, I will end there.
That was long, but very informative. Member, I think in the interest of time, I would propose that we do like we did last week, in taking all the presentations and engaging discussion thereafter. Is that okay with you? All right, thank you. Mr. Rashid Khan, Western Cape.
Thank you, Chair. Chairperson, thank you. Honourable members, thank you very much for the opportunity to yourself. Thank you very much for letting us present. Just in case, I'm going to be jumping there. We have got 5 distributed policies and 1 metro. We have got, as you can see, most of the population is in the city of Cape Town area, greater area. We have got 4 water management areas, and the distribution is like so. We've got the most amount for the city of Cape Town, 1,024.4 people. I'd say 1,024 people per square kilometers there. And right down to 1.4 persons, that's in numbers. You can't have 0.4 persons, but 1.4 persons per square kilometers. That's the distribution of the population in the Western Cape. In the 50 water services authorities, all the municipalities in the Western Cape are water service authorities, including the 5 district municipalities and the city of Cape Town, as in that show. We have water boards, and if I can just briefly, we have water boards that's doing that, and 1 water board, overboard water board, and then we have the water user associations. That's the irrigation boards that transformed into water user associations. They are also supplying municipalities with water, so we have a situation in the Western Cape that the water user associations are also supplying water to municipalities. If you look at this is again the 5 district municipalities, as you can see, in the city of Cape Town. The color indicates the intensity of the money that we are spending in the district municipalities. If I go on to schools, this is showing you, Chairperson and honorable members, that this is what has now been done in terms of the schools that we have supplied with water already. Those are the 12 schools that we had initially that supplied with water and sanitation done. Then what we're going to do now is, in terms of the other schools, we went back to the Department of Education and found out, are there any more schools, and we've got further schools that we've indicated that needs water, and now we are busy. Budget is about 3.5 million, and we had a shortfall of 1.4 million, but we want to now distribute water to those schools in the coming year. If you look at the DBSA support, those are the number of people, 20 young professionals, 22 experts, and if you look at the table, it shows you that we are from technical planning and finance. We have placed people in the different district municipalities in terms of helping them, at least 2 people per district municipality, to help them, Chairperson, with their water business. If you look at the ERISA program, Chairperson, I supplied you with bags, and I hope everyone's got those bags. In there you'll find the ERISA document. And the ERISA document is the first time in the country. We are now wanting to go to municipalities and find out how they're operating the infrastructure. So the one thing is to have the infrastructure. The other thing is to know how you are driving this infrastructure. And this EVISA program, together with the Water Institute in South Africa, we are in these municipalities, these 11 municipalities. We gave them certificates yesterday, Chairperson and honorable members, to say that you have now a computer. You have got two people that are trained to use the computer. You will then log in your infrastructure. You log in the repairs that needs to be done. You will have pictures of the place that you are working and what needs to replacement, so that officials will be able to talk to councillors to say, we need to repair this instrument or this equipment, and there will be backup. And this has been done in 11 municipalities. There's municipalities from three states that have now asked that they do this, and we're wanting to now spread this to the rest of the Western Cape. Unfortunately, these municipalities, as you say, they have taken up this initiative, and I think it's a very good initiative, so that the operators themselves now have a handle on what is going on in the infrastructure. That is the EWISA program, and then we have a water services checklist, and this is the water services checklist. Unfortunately, there are some people, some municipalities, Overberg, without naming all of them, Chair, from planning to from infrastructure and from regulations of water services, they are in the red. That would be our action plan to get them in the green. So like the robots, you see the red is danger. Your precaution areas here between 70 to about 80% in the scoring. We want to look at these municipalities that are causing us concern, and then you go to the green. Those municipalities are doing a good job, Chair, and this is part of regulating them and watching with very close eye in terms of water services authority checklist, the water service development plan and the planning process, etc. Now you will see there that the water demand management, we have got master plans. We gave them money last year. All of the municipalities have got master plans in the Western Cape, all 30 of them. So that's done. All 30 of them have got water conservation demand management. That's done. So we pick up issues from there to say how much of water you're using, how much of water you're saving. So that's completed. And this is the funding support that you see. If I can just refer to that Masibambane funding, you will see the MIG funding of 271 million, excluding Cape Town, who is in three here. Cape Town has got 294 million on its own in terms of MIG funding, infrastructure grant. And then you will see that the equitable share of 1.5 billion equitable share distributed throughout the Western Cape. And the RB is the regional bulk infrastructure grant. That's 18 million that we are helping from the department. Equitable share is not from the department, as you would know, and the MIG is not from the department. The Masibambane and the RB is from the department. You will see the size of the money will show you exactly how much is being given in terms of the different district municipalities, Chair. Going to the next slide. Here is the regulation slide. This will show you that we have done. We finished the all-town studies, all 110 towns in the Western Cape. There's 30 municipalities in about 110 towns, it's more or less 108. And in there, the all-town studies show us that when you're talking about the water side, not the infrastructure, not the people, and not how you drive the infrastructure, but rather the water part. The water part shows you that these municipalities, especially in the western part of the Western Cape, the West Coast, if you look at that diagram, it shows you that there's more red than your green and precaution yellow. It shows you that we must now prioritize that area in terms of where they're going to get the water from, how much of water they need, what water will they require in the development, and this slide shows you that this area here is going to be more trouble than out of trouble. We go to the other district municipality, the Overberg area here, the district municipality, they are very little in terms of water concern. In other words, the water itself, where are you going to get the water from? Fortunately, they are more out of trouble there. The other district municipality, Central Karoo and the Cape Winelands is this one here. Again, fortunately, they're not too much into trouble in terms of the water side, but when it comes through to the Eden municipality, we are a little bit into trouble there. In terms of water, as you know, Chair and honorable members, we have a little bit of a drought in the Southern Cape now. And we are now wanting to focus there
And you have heard about the town Sedgefield that's run out of water already, and we are trying to see how to do some creative thinking there, because we can't get water from the rivers for the first time since the, I would say, Chair, the white person landed in this country. They came in for fresh water also. But now we've got fresh water from the rivers. But now we are running out, the rivers are running out of water. So in this southern case here, they can't, now it's very hard to imagine that for the last 300 odd years, they relied just on the flow of the river. No dam, no nothing. Just go and put in a pipe in the river and you would get your water. They had a flood in the southern Cape in the Nisner area in November, you would remember. But now in January they ran out of water. This is how short the rivers are, because you've got the Otanika Mountains here, and you've got the Swartberg Mountains, and between those mountains, on the southern side, you'll get the holiday town, and the rivers are short, and they run out of water if you don't get it. Now, in this winter season, you will see that the cold fronts have come through, given us good water here, we are 100% odd, but here we are running low in terms of the dam levels. On the other side, northern part of that, you know you've got the Karoo area, and we don't get much rainfall there, and they have got Central Karoo, we also have got the water concern there. And now they are looking at why you see that there's more good than they are water concerned here is surprising in the Karoo area, because they are going into a massive recycling, and they've done quite a lot of good work in terms of groundwater and having a dam for capture. If I go through to the RECOM study to the bottom, and in here I want to just say, City of Cape Town, Chair, what we've done for the City of Cape Town to say that if City of Cape Town does all the water saving, that means if they do a water conservation to water demand management strategy and program, and if that is all implemented, including retrofitting, make sure you use water properly, make sure you don't use good clean water in your gardens, which is definitely not acceptable, make sure you don't use good clean water, you flush down the toilet, which is a waste of good money, and all of that good thing, and if you don't, and if you recycle that water and make use of water appropriately, then you will see that this graph, where this is the water used, the graph shifts more to the east. In other words, this here, what you see here, Chairperson and honorable members, you see that this is the peak, that the Berg River Dam. We've built the dam, and now we've got good water here for a few years, and if you see 2009, we're around here, so we're wanting to push water-saving measures there, so that we don't have to build another dam. We want, in this study, we're saying City of Cape Town is now water secure for the next up to 2025, if we do all that we have to do. And that is our plan of action, that we need now to do all of that stuff so that we shift that. There's another, I want to go back to another one that shows you, that was just the water conservation. Scenario 8 will also show you that apart from the water, you can do all the water conservation, but we also need reserves, ecological reserves from the river system. In other words, the river is going to have less water now to deliver to the and if you do that, and if you factor that into that, you will see that we will have at least about 46 to 50 million cubes less in our rivers. Therefore, we need to now fast track our, that the water will cost us about 1.263 billion, and that would be 171 million more because of that system yield that we don't have, that will be a decrease in water. These are some of the scenarios we're looking at. And then the other one is, we also indicated in terms of the RECON study, we are saying now that if you do the water conservation, if you take that reserve, but if you now factor in climate change, you will see that climate change will force us now to bring, and if you see these red lines are getting into these now these are here, they are options. We build another dam in another river, because these are all different schemes. So we will have to bring this thing in earlier if the climate change now takes away, you know about climate change, Chair and honorable members, that you will have rain that probably will have different intensity, may come in very hard, may come in at the wrong place, may come in at different places, and it may just be a different frequency. It may not come in at the same frequency. In Cape Town, we noticed that we are getting much harder rainfall. Cape Town is noticed for 7 days, good rain, but not these very hard rainfalls in very, very short time. So we have factored that in, and these are the RECON studies that we are doing now, and this is what we call the Old Town study. Now that we did it for the City of Cape Town, we are going to other areas. That's what we wanted to show there, Chair. I want to also show honourable members, that we have done. We have got a regulatory performance management and measurement system. Because of time, I'm not going to get into it. It's also colour-coded. That shows you here, certain Dutch municipality here, they are in trouble because of their financials. We are delving and scrutinizing their financials to see what the asset management is, what is the water value is, what is the tariff system, how much revenue they're collecting, etc. That information is not up to speed there and showing us it's red. We need to concentrate there. Similarly, we need to concentrate in central Peru. That is also. So these are giving us some pointers into our action plan, and we are now getting good information for us to jump from. It's very unfortunate that I'm going through a bit quickly because of time. I want to then go through to the blue drop chair. I'm very happy to report that almost 50% of the blue drops that was given to the country was to the Western Cape. In other words, the municipalities are shaping up. Their drinking water, what we can say, which we said yesterday, was the city of Cape Town can now stand and say that visitors for 2010, you can come to our town because our drinking water is certified. And so would the other municipalities say that. And I'm sure the other municipalities in the country also wish to do that, because the blue drop status chair is under review now for the next year, for the next cycle. So September is the assessment period, and then probably by October and November you will have another declaration by the Minister for Certification of Blue Drop. Going back, the green drop chair, the green drop status is not official, but I want to shout out before other people shout on this one. The city of Cape Town has got 9, but why I want to mention it here, and George Municipality has got 1. The green drop status is not drinking water. Blue drop is drinking water. The green drop is for wastewater treatment. How are they doing with the wastewater? Is the wastewater, and there's about 156 wastewater treatment works in the Western Cape, in all the municipalities in the metro. And out of that, River Hills got 10, which is not good at all, but City of Cape Town has got, out of the 23, it's only got 9 green drops. That means 9 treatment works are okay in terms of having the right people, in terms of having the right operations, having the response plan, and having the targets that we meet in. Etc. That is what the green drop is about. So this, again, Chair and honourable members, is giving us an indication where the work should be focused. going through to the infrastructure investment, I want to just, this is something that we looked at now. We didn't look at the infrastructure. We didn't look at the water. That was the all-time study. We didn't look at the how you operate the infrastructure. That was the EVISA. Now we're just looking at the money, the financial side, to say, what are we doing in terms of the finance? And this was a study that we did to say, what is your investment in the infrastructure? And we did it both for CapEx and OpEx. And what we're saying here is that that this map shows you that the municipalities that are not going to achieve our 2014 target for universal access. And I can drill down in all of these to show you honourable members and chair, that when you do your capital, this is now these municipalities here and district municipalities, you see somewhere extending into the others, will not achieve our 2014 target. So that would be our now, our action plan to say you will try and achieve, and most of these are money oriented. They are not spending enough money. We went 2 years back and 3 years forward for the MCEF, and they are not going to spend enough money there. There are these areas here also, they are not spending enough money, they are not going to get achieve our 2014 target, and so would be. And even City of Cape Town, you see the precaution and orange to say that you are also in danger. Now here, it shows you the red, they're only going to achieve their full infrastructure and come up to speed after 2020, which is not good at all. And the other one says, between 2014 and 2020, these are the orange. The white, okay, for now they will achieve our targets, and you will see that even more or less is due to achieve our 2014 targets, but the others are worrying in the Western Cape. Municipalities, they are not allocating sufficient resources to repairs and maintenance. Our financial regulation and our analysis show that these municipalities, just red, they spend less than 7% on repairs to the infrastructure. In other words, they are converting their assets to liabilities by not throwing money at the infrastructure. You've got to look after your infrastructure.
So this study shows that these municipalities are not throwing enough money to infrastructure. We are regulating them on their financials to say your financial is showing that this is not okay. And those municipalities between 7% and 9%, we think the ballpark chair and honorable members would be between 10 and 12% for repair. You've got to repair your infrastructure, like how you would service your car, etc. Otherwise, it would not look up to you. And this is what this is showing us. And again, this will be used as a platform to have to regulate the municipalities. And the last one, this is my last slide on this, would show you that these municipalities here are relying too much on government grants. That more than 70% of these municipalities are relying on government grants. They're becoming a welfare state. Why I say that is because the unemployment, if you went back to the first slide, you would see that the unemployment is between 30 and 50%. So half the people are unemployed or more than that, yet they have got more than 70% government grant. In other words, the economic status of these are not good. So we will have to now drive the economic development in these areas. And between 40 and 70%, you will be surprised to know the city of Cape Town is half funded by government in terms of water and sanitation. Now this is what this led us to, and we want to now say that why is it that we are throwing money here as a municipality that's supposed to be more economically active, and we need now to distribute. You see even Booster area here, the Cape Winelands area. You can imagine that those a little bit rural areas, right up north, Friedensdahl area, you're getting between 40 and 70% government grant. And the other areas here are having their own loan plus government grants, but they are below 40% funded by government. So this is what I want to show you, Chair, in the short time that I had. I apologize for running very fast ahead. I want to tell you that the team under the directorship of Pumza Gasa Level 1 that is here with me, they've done this in-house. This is not a consultant study. Or program that's written up. It's written up in-house, and most of the work here has been headed by our team. We're very fortunate that we do have some capacity and competences in-house, and we thank you for the opportunity.
Very short, eh? So let's take the last one. From Limpopo, Mr. Maduera. I don't know how you are going to operate this because you are alone.
Thank you, Sherry. We can multitask from Limpopo to Cape Town. Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, Honorable MPs, colleagues. My presentation will be. I've got quite a significant number of slides, but I'll skip quite a number. That's how the content seems to have go back. The content is like that, but it is much more than that. Next one. Honorable Chairman, as you well know, Limpopo covers well over 120,000 square kilometers and has a population of 5.4, that's the current one. A few years back it was a million more, but because of the changes. And it's predominantly rural, and it's faced with a huge service delivery backlog. Also, it's got a problem of what we call unequal pockets of development with large disparities. So this creates a huge problem. And it's characterized by insufficient bulk infrastructure. This you'll see as we go on into the slide. Limpopo has got 5 district municipalities until the central government, and 24 local municipalities And we've got, of these, we've got 11 water services authorities. And in terms of institutions which help in the water business, we've got two water boards, Lipelle and Nohalis, as well as a Section 21 company. And unfortunately, most of the municipalities are highly dependent on groundwater. Okay, those are the water services authorities. There's one challenge though. A municipality, district municipality like Waterberg, it's not the water services authority, but all of its locals, they are water services authorities. Challenges of coordination, intergovernmental, and development. It's a big problem in those cases. Next one. What gets water into the tap? Obviously, water resource management, infrastructure development, and water systems operation. I put this slide here, Honorable Chairperson, so that whenever we think, we must think in terms of that cycle. I will not go through right. Let's go to the next one, I think. Good. The following map indicates the Limpopo province. We particularly put it in there to show the noise in terms of the people, where the people stay. All the black dots you see there, these are villages. And the unequal towns, it was Messina, Makado, Wede, Pulukwane, and so on. But there are very few. So the bulk of the people are scattered all over here. The bit of luck is that most of the black dots, they are defined villages. They don't just sit wherever they want to sit. So it's a bit of a challenge. What is no good is that if we have to take water to each and every village, we'll need roughly about 40 billion rand. I don't think we can afford that. There are other processes which the Department of Local Government is doing there in terms of special development. That might reduce that figure. Next one. Maybe unlike many other provinces, is that in Limpopo, from 1994 onwards, especially when the new government came in, those large parts of people's car that they had no water at all. So the first thing we had to do was to develop a significant number of water resources. That means dams and also groundwater outcomes. So just because it's not quite clear, these are the dam structures which some of them have been constructed. Most of them have been constructed past 1994. On your notes, you'll see some of them are called national, others are called non-national. The distinction is there for us to manage. The national government cannot actually transfer to somebody to manage, but the non-national, we can get other people to manage them for us, like a municipality and water board. Next one. This, you can see it's according to areas. Quite difficult to read from here. Okay. So we build most of this or improve them over time. TPG, Vondo, Chakuma, and so on. Next one. This one, they were washed away during the floods of 2000. But Mutale, what's the other one? Damani, Dipruni, Shikuni. Shikuni is totally new on the horizon. I just want to say something onto that one. Through the EU funding, or Masvamban, we're able to put taking the Galita Water Works and distributed the water. But I'll come back to some of those next one. In the sub area Litava, we also did a few of those. Tavina, we raised it. Some of them we changed the way the water is distributed. Tapani, during the flood, it moved about 5 meters from its base. We had to rebuild the rest, the big one. Next one. As we continue, this is Middle Tava, when it was in flood, 2000. Currently, if you look there, its total volume, when it's full, is 171. Million cubic meters, no, yes, million cubic meters. But currently it's only 5%, and we're draining it to feed 800,000 people at the rate of about 0.25%. So, around about November, that will be empty if we continue that process. And Nsame, which is this one, this one gets full quite often. But currently it's only 1.5%, so it's between us and the wild animals now. We have to do that. The two dams, we have improved them. Currently we are spending quite substantial sums on them. Next one. Well, this is the same dams as we improved them. In Timujaji, 1994, Nondweni, subsequent to that. Okay. Right. I just needed to focus on Nandoni. You see there. Nandoni is a large dam, almost 162 million cubic meters. It was finished in 2005 and finished at the same time. We've currently built a water well there, 60 megaliters. We have an option of increasing it as a department, but on the national list. But currently, the dam is full and there's no offtake yet. And it's within the environment of the drought-stricken area. We are also busy now spending substantial sums on the Wob Dam, almost 3 billion rand. We hope to have drinking water at least in September 2010. And the dams which have been planned over Mamitwa Dam and also some other smaller dams. These are in a very, very dry area, so they are not just dams. They are dams in places where you really, really need it. Next one. I also wanted to say that the people in Limpopo, all the black dots, there's very few villages which don't have a water source. But the water source, is since 1994, we've been categorizing it, studying it, putting it into a manageable solution. We know that we have got about 1,000 million cubic meters on the ground. And currently, we're using about 50% of that. We've drilled, well, almost 1,000 boreholes, 10,000 boreholes, and about half of those are currently operational. Obviously, groundwater was operational. Problems like water quality, and scientifically, the biggest problem is that the recharge is natural. So in other words, we have very little control over it. Next. This is how the groundwater is spread out, but I just go to the next slide. This is how the groundwater, when we summarize it over from 1972 till about now. Currently, from right about 99, 2000, 2000 with the flood, you can see it went up and up. Since then, we've never had a good rain, the recharge. So it's going down. Taking the same pattern of the El Nino. So we cannot fully say groundwater we can rely on, especially when you've got a tendency like this one. It's a solution, but a solution which is fraught with problems, especially in a dry problem. It's the same in other provinces as well. Next one. I think these are just the major schemes which we have done, but there's something else which I would like to say. All right. In Limpopo, the planning, or what we call water services planning, can only be done around the dam infrastructure, the source. You can't just plan it everywhere and simply have water. So these are the studies which the department undertakes for each and every water services authority. It's unlikely that you can demarcate a water resource for... Thank you, Chair. It's unlikely that in Limpopo you can have an area self-sufficient. There's no self-sufficient. We have to import water from other provinces and totally impossible therefore. So that is one of the problems. Next one. As a department, I'll not go through the figures. Some of the bulk infrastructure which we're actually building are shown in the for the municipality. I'll not go for each and every one. Next one. And we also what we call internal bulk infrastructure. We also help each and every municipality. If you can see, we have roughly about 1.3 million households. Currently, we have assisted each household about 900,000. 2008 and 2009, 950,000. It's unlikely that we can move to the rest until the water resources are settled. So you, in terms of the graph, you are actually on the plateau of the graph, so you can only be there. This, I show you in areas like the Kukuna. In a year, there's not much you can do. There's not sufficient water currently, until maybe when the drop comes in, then you can see it lifting up. Many other areas, Vila Vila, the same. We have to get water from housing and northwest in order just to give whoever doesn't have water extra water. In terms of schools, there's many more schools in Limpopo which small children have to carry a small bottles of water when they go to school. The main problem being that, but over the years we gave about 1,000 schools, probably 1,000 more left. In the clinics, both water and sanitation, it was similar, but in 2008 we completely gave the clinics water and sanitation. Of course, the challenge for schools and clinics is the management thereof. So next year we come and say, no, it's gone back. It's simply because the management has not been there, the equipment has been vandalized or some other way. Next one. right. Just unlike maybe other provinces, we are more or less like the Eastern Cape, where there are quite a large number of people, almost 6,000 people, who are actually managing this, and we are currently transferring virtually all of them. Polokwane, last Wednesday, we transferred the rest. So the only people whom we still have is those 888. These are with Mopane municipality. We'll probably be transferring the end of September, if it's possible. But I'll just put one challenge, next slide. Right. Obviously, the personnel are linked to the schemes, so we transfer the schemes as well. As however, there's five schemes there. It's five. Seven schemes, which we have not been able to transfer. In fact, there will be plus one in the next few months. There's one more scheme which we are completing currently. This scheme, Chairperson, this scheme which is not transferred, is that their value is over 100 million. And in terms of some ruling, is that they will not be able to transfer this unless we are sure that the municipality can run it. Let me just choose one. In November, with three, there's a plus one, which is Nandoni, so that I'll say something. The plus one in Nandoni, which is a large scheme. Currently, the department, just minus the dam, is spending well over 1,000 million rand to implement that scheme. In terms of the new rules, the regulatory rules is that you must have a chemical engineer, you must have this and this and this and this. None of these municipalities have got these people. So we're totally in a big problem there. Just to indicate how much we as a region have, about 4 years ago we had 17 engineers. As we talk today, we've got four plus two recruits, very new ones. Even if we wanted to help each and every municipality, it would be impossible. Of course, we've got head office which comes in on a regular basis to help. But if we transfer these schemes, there will be eight. That would be a big challenge. Next one. The estimated value of the schemes which are transferring is about 40 billion, 40.5 now. So the investment government has done is quite significant. And it's important that we compare this to with the human resources which we have. Next one. Sewage works, we didn't want to say blue drop, but in terms of blue drop, none of our sewage works in Limpopo, green drop. None of our, let me start with the water works. We've transferred almost, more or less, say 44 or so water works. None of the municipalities got something from the blue drop status. Similarly with the green drop, none of them, including Polokwane, which is our flagship. So we have much more work to do. Next. Right. Unlike many other regions, the department spends substantial sums of money in terms of operations and maintenance through the DORA. What about schedule 6 and 7, it's the same money. In 2 years, the next 2 years, we'll be spending 900 million for schedule 6, and schedule 7, we'll be spending about 500 million. Just to understand what is schedule 6 and 7, in schedule 6 is where the municipality is in total full control. In schedule 7, we are still partially involved. Till 2011. Beyond that, the municipalities will be on their own. This is the input. So if we follow the regulatory environment which the country did, our province will virtually be red, all of it. And we do have a refurbishment program for the next 3 years of about 327,400 million. Next one. It's the same thing in a much more expanded way. Next one. We're still assisting municipalities with Section 78, MSPs, municipal support plans, especially together with the DPLG and also the Department of Local Government and Housing in the province. And we've got a number of teams which are down there in the district. Disaster management. Though disaster management is housed in another national department, but where it comes to our function, which is making sure that the water is safe, we have a disaster management structure and so on and so on, and we can activate them quite quickly. Together with other national departments, health, Department of Local Government, and provincial affairs. So, we as Limpopo, what's your problem? Mm. We have got an international boundary, which is with Botswana, Zimbabwe, and Mozambique. And obviously, because of that interaction, we have got obligation to ensure that our borders are free. If you remember last year, next one, last year we had cholera. Almost 5,000 people were infected, and the number died. It might not look very, especially if you're in Cape Town, it looks like somewhere else. But when you're there and you cross over to Zimbabwe, in one village, one weekend, in one village, if you have to bury 88 people, then it's extremely clear. You cannot sit on this side and hope for the best. So the department, together with other departments, but the department per se, has spent well over 36 million rand. Just to make sure that our borders are safe. Any sewage coming in from Pipe Ridge and other smaller places around there, sort it out. That's what we have done. In terms of now, because we are just about starting the cholera season, we are also putting in a, we call them surveillance systems. So that is in terms of cholera. The blue status, is it the blue status? Blue drop status, not the blue one, also becomes a big problem, because if we don't get that, it will be difficult for the 2010 events to take place in the Limpopo, despite all the billions we are investing in stadiums and all that. But in terms of disasters, it's not only cholera that's locked around it. We also have problems, for instance, with drought. We have also a strategy and put it into place. Currently, we have a drought in what's called Middle Tava Giani area, big drought. And as I've shown you, the two dams which are supplying this area are virtually empty. But there's a plan to intervene in the department. Not only the province itself, obviously the whole department. Next one. There's 800,000 people living in all those areas. All those black dots in a figure map translate into what you can see. These are villages. That's the Middle Tower Dam, that's the Nsami Dam. Just over there you've got Nandoni Dam. We have a plan to get the water into all the places. Next one. All right, I think it's But also I've got a plan to identify what we call hotspots. We've got to do that, we've got what's called the development community development officer. But with the introduction of community development workers by the then Department of Public Service, am I right? We suddenly multiplied 100 times. It became very easy to identify hotspots and so forth so that we can focus. It was quite very easy. So our plans were enhanced by other departments other than ourselves. Next one. Right. In terms of institutions, we have a focused functional collaborative structure called COLACOM. SALGA and other departments are in there. So we are transferring huge sums of money to the municipalities. So we are actually assisting them to manage, especially the money transfer properly, especially the 11 water services authorities. We don't always succeed. Next one. Those are the programs which we support with. Next one. Section 78, especially all of them, of course, that there's a bit of feeding here and there, especially when there's been a demarcation, new demarcation. So we're busy dealing with that. I can just choose one example. If you see MDM, it's Mopani, District Municipality, the Water Service Authority, they have delegated to Greater Zani and possible Palavura and all that. Next one. I think it's the same thing one to one. I would like to just go to one. Next. I think go one back. In the case of Kukune, where the area called Mose, is situated, our main problem is that Mose is part of a huge scheme called Western ISL. Unfortunately, Mose is at the end, so they don't normally get water. The infrastructure is in there. But in order to create an advantage for that, we have assisted the municipality to get, for instance, water from Loskop Dam, which is nearby, it's in Mpumalanga. And they're investing currently $5 million in the designs of waterworks and things like those. And they will then have to budget through MIG plus minus $200 million rand in order to implement that. Next one. Okay, next one. I think we can go on. Oh, no, just one. In the case of Lipalale, we have got the municipal support plan. There's one problem though. About 4 years ago, Lipalale had 5,000 residents. Within those 4 years, Lipalale's population has gone to plus 70,000, which becomes a challenge not only for the department, but for all other departments as well. The sewage works becomes too small, the water works becomes too small, the roads become too small, electricity becomes too small, just about everything becomes too small. It's very similar again with Kukune, Beggarsport. A few years back, maybe slightly longer, 6-7 years, they didn't have more than 10,000 people. As we talk now, there was 150,000 people plus. So virtually everything becomes smaller and smaller. And that's why you see the billion government is trying to spend, especially in those areas. Next one. Okay. Next one. And go to the next one, challenge. And the next one. Like I said, I won't say a lot of them. We can go to the next one. And the next one. And the next one. And the next one. And the next one.
Why are you jumping
so many slides, Mr. Ramon? No, it's because we prepared a lot of slides for you to read. Last time we understood that you wanted the information beforehand. So we wanted to give you as much as you can. So we will not be able to go through them. Most of them are quite extensive. Right. You can go on and do it. Next one. Right. Chairperson. These are projects within the municipalities which we fund as a department. There were various names. Our infrastructure accelerated. All in all, what we need is almost 5 billion. It's funded over a number of years. And the next one, all this we thought you might want to just stop there. One of the problems, like I've alluded a few years back, with 17 engineers, 5 of them were Cubans, and they were recalled by their country, and most of the young people then left, so we left being 4 or 5. One of our engineers retired, another one went to the Eastern Cape, and we are now currently only about 4 or so, about the 2, unless we recruit more. In the municipality, the 11 water services authorities, only 2 municipalities have got engineers. It says Kukune and Vembe. Incidentally, even our flagship town, Polokwane, does not have a fully fledged water engineer. The current person who's acting there, or who's an engineer, is just experienced. In fact, he was supposed to have retired in March. We had to sit down with him to please stay on. Stay on. So it's a very, very difficult problem. We escalated right through the system, through the premier's office, but I'm sure we've got the same problems as anybody else. So it's really a difficult one, and you realize our investment of 40 billion will go to ground unless we do something. Maybe if you go back to Cuba and get some more. But it's a real problem. It's a real problem. I'm also getting old.
Can we, sorry, tell you the level of writing here, the airport? Can we please give the presenter to get a job for us? Let us know that there is another separate meeting.
Okay. These are the things sometimes we send, it comes back, sent back and proceed to the municipalities because there's nobody really to assess them. That's one. It's very similar, it goes up and down, up and down. We ourselves as a department, we are self-funding for just in the current year, 58 schools for the water. And education is spending about 700 on 700 schools. Next one. Next one, because I've just done the municipality. Of course, the first part in the 2010 FIFA is that our Polokwane must get a blue drop status. A few months earlier, we had a team from Chile to come and play Wafana Wafana in Polokwane. And they actually refused to drink the water, refused to sleep there. And they cited our own government paper, which says Polokwane has got 0 rating for blue drop data. So we can't, we're actually doing something to ensure that we get a blue drop data. What if we are in the eyes of the world? It's going to be quite difficult. unfortunately, it will need extra infrastructure in Polokwane. If you, I don't know in other provinces, but I know in Eastern Cape is the same. It's a big town, everything is there. With the change in the boundaries, suddenly Polokwane has got lots of rural areas surrounding. So that's why they cannot get this data, because there's no infrastructure there. So that is one of the problems which we have. And the other part is everything is Googled up. Whenever we have something, it goes to Google. They know it all the way in Chile that if you drink the water there, you come back here and be a useless soccer star because you are sick. So you see, so we have, those are the challenges we have to face, and we are facing some of them. Next one. All right, we've got some of the positions, but you can just go on. You can go on if you want to appropriate. So that's how we want to move. Well, we're currently moving in terms of transition from what you see on the left to what you see on the right. If there's water, of course. Now I can pass that. That one was shown in the other time. The institutions, I think I spoke about them. So in other words, we've got an institution where it supplies the water to. The big part of the Limpopo are not supplied by this institution. So these are pockets of successes, I think. I've said something about the Palade currently. We'll be augmenting it from housing. Go on. Oh, maybe I should talk something about the Nebu Plateau, which is up there in Skukuni. One of the reasons why we cannot increase the supply there's not enough water. What we are currently doing is dewarp them. We would like to store some water come September next year, and we're also currently building a pipeline all the way to Jenfell for it to develop. But that is not the final development. The final development we have to do it together with other institutions like ESCOM. Okay, next one. It's the same with a challenge, and that's how we intervene. I also want to say something about MOSA. I think I've said something about MOSA. Currently, as we talk now, the municipality has got 53 million rands. Like I said, they've got 5 million rands to do the design. And we don't believe they'll be able to spend 53 million in 1 year. Take a bit longer. But the other area, which is the Butloka area, honorable members, is on the N1 from Makado to Polokwane, there's a big settlement on the way. Not all industries you can relate, you can put them in town. The others which you want far away, like a coal-fired power station and so on. So Butloka is one of the areas where most industrialists would like to put it, what we call baby industries, like steel plant, they want to put it there. There's also a big coking coal mine. Coking coal is the coal which you use to melt iron. It's wanted all over the world currently. So in order to do that, we need almost 200 million to take water from Nandoni, which is about 150 kilometers from there, up to there. Half of it government has already paid. Then the rest the municipality will have to bring in. So that is one of it. Okay, this is the Munte area. That's not clear from a distance, maybe because I don't have my spectacles. South here, this is Mamelodi, somewhere. It's Mamelodi here. And Munte moves all around like that. There's huge investment of pipes already in there. And we've got Renoster Dam somewhere there, from Combo Dam. It's a dam which we call a poor dam. It gets full quickly, it gets dry quickly. So that's one of the problems. So more towards the north, we've got a lot of just about there. So currently, with all the investment in there and the money which Skubuni wants to spend, is to ensure that from Mamelodi there's a pipeline currently getting in there, and from Loskop. In fact, just from Loskop, just the waterworks and a piece of pipe is built into the system. So that's how the funding is, but you need more than 53 million rand to complete it next time. Okay. The green rocks, like that, which are all waterworks in this province, are inundated with development. Limpopo is maybe unique in the sense that the development is carrying on very, very fast. So that's why we get this one. It's not only water in the Parale only, usually in every small, even villages. At one stage, we must stop calling them villages. And this is another principle, which is what the Department of Local Government is doing. Next one. All right. Good. Thank you. This is the Middle Taba Dam when it's in flood. It's beautiful. Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Matugane. I think now. I will then invite members for questions, comments, clarifications. I've noted Mama Rusa, Luyenge, Kikuji, Mr. Morgan Mandi in that order.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I'm from Limpopo. And all my questions will be directed to Butali Matugan. Chairperson, over the weekend I had a meeting with the mayor of Giyani, where she indicated that they have got a very serious problem of sewage blockage and stealing of sewage into the main line of water in Giyani. And I want to get it from Mr. Matugan, what are the reasons? Because between 1994 and 1999, I was a member of this committee. And the recommendation was done that the Giyani infrastructure should be rehabilitated. And as I'm sitting here, 10 years back, 15 years back, we are still talking about rehabilitation of Giyani. Some months back, there was an outbreak of cholera next to Giyani in Hlaneke village. And reasons being, people from Hlaneke village collect water from Middle Letaba Canal. And why should they really do that, not get fresh water? The Nandoni Dam, I'm a resident of Nandoni. We haven't started utilizing Nandoni water. I have just drilled a borehole there because there's no water. People run around with wheelbarrows because of shortage of water. I'm about 200 meters from Nandoni Don, and we haven't started utilizing water. They are still busy with the recirculation station. And the plans, last month, Premier made a commitment that they will look into the issue of drawing water from Nandoni Dam to Giyani. As we are talking, there's no water from Nandoni Dam to Giyani or to Capricorn. Secondly, Mr. Matukan, I would like to know how often do you, as Department of Water Affairs, monitor water and sanitation projects in the Bobo? Because if you were monitoring them, problems that are there in Giyani should not be happening. And as Department of Water Affairs, you are busy pumping money into Mopane district, knowing very well that Mopane district direct their money, their budget to capital projects. And capital projects to me says they should be in charge of infrastructure. And the infrastructure in that area, in that district, is old. borehole water in Giani, some borehole water in Giani is not fit for human consumption. And purification systems that you, not purification, what do you call it? Disinfection system that you have, you put in the boreholes, in some of the boreholes in Indiana, the systems are not there, and people are drinking dirty water, not fit. He's not running from that area, Giani, but right now he's relocated. He has relocated to Polokwane. He knows the problems that I'm raising. Since 1994, Mr. Madukana, 9,000 boreholes were drilled in Limpopo. As we are talking, 4,000 of those boreholes are no longer in use. What are the reasons? What are you doing about it? People don't have water in Limpopo. Mr. Matukane, why is health and hygiene awareness not done in all areas in Limpopo as identified in the initial plans that you got? I'm also a resident of Nkwankwa Township. In Nkwankwa Township, you had a program of water leakages, investigation in water leakages. And the problems that are in Nkwankwa and Den village next to Nkwankwa, you know the problems, especially in Den village, Mr. Matukane. The sanitation problem in Den village, Mr. Matukane. Den village is congested with toilets and small houses. But the leakage is there. What are you doing about them? Investigations were done, and you're not implementing the outcomes of those investigations. The school report on...
Sorry, Mama. Can I limit you to those questions so that we all have time to answer questions? You'll come again next round.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Chair, let me first appreciate the presentation by the Western Cape. I think there is a great difference between what is taking place in the Western Cape versus the Eastern Cape and Limpopo. I'm sure they should be incorporated as one province because of their conditions. You know, you can even look here what the honorable member has said here regarding the plight of Limpopo. I mean, what we are experiencing both in the Eastern Cape and Limpopo, it's a condition of a perpetual infrastructural decay, of which there has never ever been any intervention on the part of the department. The capacity of the municipality is there. It's an issue that we cannot say as members of parliament there is any light at the end of a tunnel. You know, if a person, you can listen to the presentation of Limpopo, there is no hope even from the presenter that something is going to be done here. It's like a joke. I mean, the conditions that are prevailing in the Eastern Cape, they leave much to be desired. I mean, we need not to praise Zing here. Good presentations, logic, good English, philosophy, and sophisticated words being used here. They are not going to take us anywhere. There is no water in the Eastern Cape. There is no water in Umtata. There is no water in Mkanduli. There is no water in Mount Fletcher. I mean, what are we doing as the department? Can we rely on the falling apart of the municipalities there, the municipalities? Even the district municipality, the contestation between the district municipality and the local authorities in the provision of water, it's a matter that needs a guidance from the department. Because the infrastructure that is there it's not an infrastructure that you can say, no, it is because of the legacy of the past. We are 15 years down the line now. We cannot condemn the authorities that were there. But what have we done as the current system of government that we are? There is no way that a person we can say in these two provinces, they are terrible twins in terms of their plight. The poverty that exists there is a justification of what is taking place now. They remain poor, and they will remain poor because the performance of the department in these two provinces, it's not an issue that you can say it is an oversight. I don't know whether I will be rude enough to say it is deliberate. There is nothing that is talking about rural communities here. We are rural people. We are coming from the rural areas, and there is nothing. These water boards, they are only working in the urban areas. They do not reach the rural areas. Even the Amatola one, that is said to be operating in Amatola, it doesn't reach even Butterworth, that's nearby East London. That thing is working only in East London. It doesn't reach Pendana, it doesn't reach Willowvale. I mean, the capacity of these water boards is an issue that we can say the department cannot really rely on this. And even the separation of sanitation from water, it's an issue that we need to debate even with the Department of Cooperative Government, because it is not about the provision of the service, it's about money. People are looking for money to enrich themselves, no matter who they are. I must be here in the silent word.
I'm also from Eastern Cape. Some of the questions that I was going to raise, Utatu Lenge, who's raising. For instance, when I was looking at page 11, they even not put down this OR, which is having problem. I was wondering, saying that, what are these water boards? What are their functions? Maybe I must ask that question. You will be seeing that in the institution in water service provision, but in passing, they've mentioned that also the OR is part of that Amatola Water Board. Look at the presentation. I need to be schooled. What is the role of the water boards? And other questions that I was going to raise when the presenter presented the slide number 14, I was a bit covered but worried, because I was going to ask what is the role of the department. For instance, I'm not talking about rural areas where I'm coming from. I'm also representing urban people where I'm coming from. That problem which is in KSD, it's not a new problem. And I was worried now when we are saying that local government must intervene. I know that this function has been given water affairs. I don't know whether are you not presenting that as a region. And this, I'm happy that you have just mentioned that the parts, they are all parts. You know, sometimes we'll be saying that municipalities, they don't have capacity. But when we are listening to a presentation, you're supposed to monitor as a department. If now e pipes, MTATA, they are old enough that it's just this month, July, that you have detected that the pipes, and you have sent the money that out of so much pipes, only 6 pipes. And that problem, delivery is not there. Because I don't know what is your intervention if we are saying that it's local government. You are supposed to go and intervene between these two spheres of government. You cannot say the districts, which you have mentioned here, that we have given them the authority to do this authority of water. But at the same time, I think you cannot intervene. Because that OR district municipality, they didn't steal somewhere or take the authority upon themselves that will be giving these areas water. It was a policy issue. And when now the problem is there, you are saying you are shifting the ball. Maybe I can be wrong. I'm raising this thing that I cannot even answer to my constituents. That when now local authority wanting back this service, and it's between themselves now, and there comes the another department, which is local government, I want to be schooled on that, because that problem, whilst we're talking about rural areas, even people who voted for us in the urban areas, they don't get this service because of the struggles of these two local, these two spheres of government. I've heard one other thing which you raised, that you do have a budget for schools, sanitation, and you even mentioned the figure or the number. I wanted to the office, if to date that information is not with us, to have those schools who are benefiting, because 2 weeks ago I went to Ndamase High School. Their refurbishment of e-hostel there is there, but the problem, those kids who are raped by the boys there, they can't get in that hostel because of the sanitation problem. I went there, the hostel, it's ready, it's finished, but they can't take the kids inside there because of the problem of sanitation. So I'm asking, I know education is involved, IDT is involved, but immediately that you have mentioned that you do have a budget of assisting the schools. I wanted to check, you have mentioned about some schools that you have helped to sanitation. This question, I need that we must be part of trying to assist that in Ndamase High School, if you can. I'm lodging that now, that if you can, let's go and assist that school, that those rapes of those kids are staying in the Mikukus, that boys, when they are from Shibin, they've just entered those Mikukus and they rape the girls. The school is there, but the problem is sanitation. So I want the department to assist. I did go to the district municipality, but if now you are saying you do have funds for that, my plea, you can consult myself and the Honorable Luyeng, it's our constituents. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you to the presenters. I agree with Dr. Liangi that the presentation from the Western Cape is particularly good. I mean, it clearly has its own problems, but what I liked about it was it was purposeful in the way you could drive down and actually look at the problems specifically. So thank you very much for that. I'm also going to concentrate in this round on the Eastern Cape, and we have had some comments particularly about municipalities in OR Tambo, but I also want to make some comments there on that, just based on some of what I've seen in the last few weeks when I was in Mthatha. So, but let me start with Port St. John's in the Eastern Cape. Let me just first give you the symptom of what I spent some time down there and spoke to some locals 2 weeks ago. There have been 3 shark attacks this year in Port St. John's. 3 shark attacks. Young, up-and-coming, local young men who have been swimming and surfing there. Prior to this year, or prior to the end of last year, there hadn't been a recorded shark attack in Port St. John's since about 1950. Now, the locals seem to believe, and I think they're probably right, that the high amount of sewage content coming down that river, which is Mzimbulu River, is one of the reasons why that has happened, because of the high, you know, the high nutrient content there. So if that's the case, then we are sacrificing young children to these sharks there. I just use that as a symptom. And I don't know if we can establish the exact causation of it. So I just put it out there. But just a couple of things. Another symptom, and Dr. Lungi, you'll know it more than anyone else, which I was horrified to see coming out of Umtata, was water hyacinths in every direction. And at one stage I stopped on the side of a road where there was some local sand mining. And I'm sure my two colleagues will know it. I could see 500 meters up the river, and I bet you it went more, and I could see 300 meters down the river. Thick water hyacinths. If you were very, very light, like a small child, you could run across that. So that is a sign of high, high nutrient content, and it is appalling, not to mention what has been done to those ecosystems underneath there, because where you get that, you get alien fish like catfish and so on. So, I mean, I'm more worried about what's coming out of the Mtata sewage plant, but there is an indication of what is happening to that river, because people are still drawing water out of that river, and it is quite disgusting. So now that we've also got a problem of how we're going to get rid of that water hyacinth, actually. That's the second point. Me back to Port St. John. Okay, colleagues in the water department, what I saw there was shocking. There are thousands of people who had their water cut off because there's not enough water. Not because there are no dams. The dams in Port St. John are amongst the best small dams I have ever seen in my life. They are environmentally friendly, they draw at a certain level. And what I saw, for those of you who know it, the one is, it draws from the Mgazi River. What happened there was that the infrastructure broke down, the pump station from the river. So they missed the high level mark when the water came down. They couldn't pump into the augmentation dam. Then they fixed the pump, and then the municipality was like, okay, what are we going to do now? There's not enough water in the augmentation dam. So they got some authority, I'm not sure how, took a bulldozer through the side of from the road down to the water and created a dam using a bulldozer. Now, that is shocking. They raised the water level so that the pump, because the pump where the inlet pipe was X height above the water, to create a false dam so they could pump into the augmentation dam. So that gives you an idea of how desperate that situation is. Then the town's dam, which is over the hill, closer to the town, is practically empty because the augmentation dam isn't full enough and the one river going into it isn't enough. So there are big problems in Port St. John. There's water in the town, but there's not water for the surrounding communities and their standpipes. And that part of stuff, that kind of initiative, it was just bad planning from some local official who missed the boat by not having a working pump from the river and then decided to bulldoze vegetation to create a false river. Now, the problem there is that that is a tidal river, Chairperson, which means that water now comes up from the water, up from the sea, and you're going to increase the salination content of that. So it's going to go into augmentation there. So it is a big, 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 big problem there. A couple more comments on the Eastern Cape. You've seen it, my friend Dr. Lengi. I went to the sewage plant in Mtata the other day. I think that water coming out of the sewage plant is probably 5% cleaner than when it goes in. The chlorinators have been stolen, and the water is flowing out of there. You can see the water hyacinth. It is white muck. Only one of those ponds, I forget the name, of those things that go like this, only one of them is working. The sludge pools are so sludged up, the water is flowing straight over. I went to the water treatment plant. Ladies and gentlemen, they are using HTH in that water treatment plant. I've got pictures of it if you want to see it. I found in a corner of a room, HTH all over the place. When I took a photo of it, the officials got very, very nervous. H for pool chemicals. So someone hasn't planned well their ordering of their thing. They went to the local game or macro, whatever is there, and they bought a whole lot of HTH. Shocking. They have no idea how much water is coming into that plant, so they don't know how much flocculant to put into that plant. No idea. And only one of those pools, those filtration pools with the sand, only one of them was working. So, I mean, my colleagues from Mthatha have good reason to be very, very, very worried there. I went to the local informal trading market by the taxi rank. The municipality, instead of cleaning up, was just bulldozing stuff into the river. I found animal heads, bones, skins in the Mthatha River dumped from the day before. So, ladies and gentlemen, Mthatha is in a bad way. And I think we should probably visit there. And I know you're there every weekend, but we should all go there with the full force of this committee to help those poor people. The last point is the sewage recycling in Alexandria for Eastern Cape. There's not enough water in that area, and they've got this great plant there which is recycling effluent. It's the future, ladies and gentlemen. Culturally, many of us might not want to drink potable water made from recycled water, but that's probably where we're going. They're ready, it's working, the water is apparently of a very high quality, but the Water Affairs Department is holding up the approval for it to be put into the town's water supply. Will it happen, and when will it happen? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair. I think the situation is very, very depressing when you listen to the encounters that members are, you know, encountering in different areas where they visit. I think I want to agree with Honorable Member Liyenge. I'm looking to, you know, the Eastern Cape presentation, you know, really, fully, it is not going to work. That people come and paint a picture, a picture that it is all honky-dory, when actually it is not. When you look at this, this is the best presentation, and yet it means nothing, because the experience on the ground in the Eastern Cape says completely different from what is written here. I think really it has to do with people being able to write a very good English, and I think people must stop doing that. We are no kids here. That people must come and paint a picture that doesn't exist. I think we really, next time, Chair, we must just say, please just walk out of this room, because that's the only thing that will send a message out there to officials to say we really are not here to be fooled by good English. Having said that, I think it is important that we get the list of those on page 6 on the first slide. Really, I think it will be important to get the list of those 35 rivers that we are told about here. And also the list of the schools. I think the honorable member next to me also said, because that's the only way that can be able to help us to zoom onto the reality and the truth, by getting a list as well and good to say 35 rivers, know the names of the rivers, so that we follow that up with the communities. The schools will do the same. On page, again, on the issue of good English, and I want really somebody to read that for me. On page 12, BSMC, I mean, really, if you read that, maybe the deputy, DG can just read what that English says in that slide. I really, I can't correlate the two, because they really are not the same. I just don't understand what is being said there. The issue of health and hygiene, what does educating, and then the issue of tailoring processes. I'm really that, if you read that, it means absolutely nothing. It's just a person that is just playing with words and English there. Please, we must not be presented with things like those. Really. You are talking about on your page 13, the first slide, the access to water. I agree with Honorable Luyenge there. What houses are you talking about? Who is going to be paying which one? Is that the only number in the whole of the Eastern Cape that you say doesn't have water? And who are you referring to there? Are you including rural areas there? Or you are just again talking only of the people that are staying in the township in the urban? Exactly. So for me, again, that figure is completely wrong. it's far, you know, from the reality of what is actually happening, you know, in the Eastern Cape. And I think really, you know, Chair, if I was sitting in that chair, I would have thrown this out. Really, that's how it really upsets me. This COSA report here, that means absolutely nothing. Let me come to the Western Cape. I think really, there's something that many of the presenters here should learn, you know, from. Maybe you can assist them, help them, maybe run a seminar where they can all sit so that you take them through. Because I think there's something that they can learn from that. It's just that I can say that your slides, five slides, page 14, 15, and 16, we couldn't, up to page 17, about five or six, seven slides, that we couldn't see anything because of the fine. We really can't even make reference to your slides, you know, here. And Limpopo Chair, really, this was another waste of time of a presentation. Really a waste of time. That has bored you. You kept on intervening. I have never listened to a boring presentation as this one. Actually, I was very annoyed by it. And really, you know, again, the department really needs to take a look at itself in the mirror here and tell me what exactly is happening in Limpopo concerning the presentation. If you can read, look at page 24. You know, some of those slides, the page 25, you know, again, there are people who really just are playing with words in English. That absolutely means nothing. If you can read the, you know, sustainability pillars, gender mainstreaming, develop gender mainstreaming systems in 11 WSAs. Gender focal persons identified and IDPs toolkit training, visits and project gender analysis. I mean, really, what the hell is that? What does it mean? What does that say exactly? Somebody must please. I think the member next to me here says somebody must please educate me. You know, I just need some schooling in this. What the hell does that say? Exactly, I think the presenter here must tell me what exactly that says. And then again it says gender continues. No dedicated persons from the Water Services Division to attend to gender issues. In contradiction to the, you know, to what I've just referred to, the slide that I've just referred to on page 24 of what is this saying. And this continues. You know, Chairperson, I mean really. Today, really, I feel that I've just came here just to waste my time. You know, except that the only presentation that really made sense to me here was that of the Western Cape. Eastern Cape and Limpopo, they need to be sent back to person and come with reality. It's worse, the Eastern Cape doesn't even have challenges. That's why I'm saying that everything is honky-dory. If you can look at the challenges, it's one flight. It's not even challenges that they're referring to. Do you mean that the whole of Eastern Cape doesn't have challenges that can be presented to this committee? Please, don't waste our time. Don't play with our people.
Chairperson. It is not a mistake to invite the departments to come and present whatever they are presenting. It is procedure. That's how Parliament works. But I've long been saying this portfolio is outside. It's environment. Water and environment. Environmental affairs, isn't it? You need to go and see for yourself. It's one portfolio that has to conduct oversight. Chairperson, G26 room 190 Plain Street, S25 or 35, whatever, will produce such results.
Yes.
Thomas the prophet was not a fool to say, let me feel it, right? Because as my colleague was saying, they have such good English. With Limpopo, I just went to bed. It was such a nice lullaby, you know. And you could see Limpopo, huh, was just undermining that, Mina, I'm just going to tell them whatever. That was the reaction, you know. Not serious, because at least the presenter must show seriousness. But, you know, then because I did not know what was going on, because she's a female. Ubaba is a male. Angithi uyabona ubaba mayeloke kuthinta uba nemizwa ethile. Angithi ngesikhathi esiphele. Sengisho ukuthi it's not allowed. Due respect. So, unless at a certain period we go and see for ourselves, we shall continue listening to stories. I just want to be specific, my questions. I've got just very few of them. It's a follow-up. In fact, it is a follow-up. I just want to know from the presenter, that is Eastern Cape, to tell us about some of the areas in the Eastern Cape where there is scarcity of water. I'll make mention of what I know, as Honorable Morgan was saying, that I went to there, I saw this, I touched this. I went to Krisani district, I think Ingobo falls under. Mm-hmm. I'm still repeating, it was a funeral. The following day, I couldn't go out of that bedroom and wash because there was no water. They had gone to some, I don't know, kilometers and kilometers. They ended up coming back at one. And I was to drive to Johannesburg. Scarcity of what? How? What's happening? No, there are taps. But they are not functioning. How? Where are the municipality? What are they saying? Oh, people don't even have the decency of calling the communities. Just address them. Just explain to them what is the problem. You see? Then I wondered if there were clinics there. What is going on? Schools. What is going on? They said they live on river. The water, they get water from the river. The other one is washing on the what? Somewhere you fetch water. This said you go and drink, you cook, you do everything, you see. What about those clinics and those schools in that area? There's one other place which I would love to know from the Eastern Cape, Kofinzaba. Because I'm from there. Umakoti wami ulapho, ningamangali ukuthi ngiyakhuluma umakoti bami, omunye useNgcobo. The other one is at Kofinzaba. Yes. You go to office, but there is no electricity. How? At this point in time, in this era, no, and Kofin Baba is dark. Then I wonder if they do have water. It's one of those areas in the Eastern Cape, you know. And I'm saying, in fact, Chairperson, it is just good that we meet communities, and communities are going to tell us, we shall see for ourselves what is happening. Because now, sitting here, wasting our time, as my colleagues are saying, it won't benefit, because we are here to help the people that have brought us here. They must feel that we are here for them. What things are put straight because members of parliament are here. They have been elected by their people who are suffering. I wonder with Limpopo, I wonder if Limpopo does have informal settlement. Because when I was listening, it sounded as if they've got villages. Thank you.
Thank you, members. One can see that members are really not impressed by the presenters. And I would urge the presenters that in your responses, please be truthful and realistic. Because definitely we'll visit these areas. And if we found the opposite of what you told us, we must know the consequences thereof. Because we would have misled this community. So I would really request that you tell us what is happening there. If you are facing challenges, say so. Do not try to give us a nice picture of something that is not the truth. Can I start with Eastern Cape?
Thank you, Chair. Chair, can I be allowed to start, and then I'll just take high-level questions that members have raised and then give over to the region. Okay. Chair, let me start. Thank you for the opportunity. Let me start by saying it is very unfortunate that the presentation from the two regions have left members with a sense that we're trying to paint a glory picture of what is happening. That is definitely not the intention. It is, Chair, also not coincidental that there are major challenges in both Limpopo and the Eastern Cape, because we know that those provinces are problematic provinces with high backlogs, poverty, etc. So even the challenges in those areas are to that effect. Chair, there are two fundamental issues here that I would like to highlight. It's about roles and responsibilities. And this is a matter that our minister had to take up with the president recently when the issue of Umtata came afore, because it highlighted so many issues. The president wanted to know from our minister, why have you let the infrastructure and the situation in Umtata get to that state. And that's where the minister took opportunity to explain to the president that, actually, President, the constitution says it is the responsibility of local government to provide water and sanitation. It's the responsibility of national and provincial government to provide support. Now, there is a difference between providing support and actually doing the job. Because we are one government, Chair, we do realize that in the interest of good governance, in some cases, we may be expected to do the job. However, there are limitations there because National Treasury funds each department according to its functions. In other words, we will not receive funding to do operation and maintenance because that funding has to go to local government that is responsible for that function. And Chair, I really understand that there is an expectation on our part as a department to do certain things, and we are taking that responsibility in the serious light possible. However, we do have some challenges because we do not have funding to do some of the things. So after 15 years of democracy, government has finally realized that there are problems at local government level. And it is for that reason that there are various processes which I would like, and this is where I'm calling for support from the committee. There is currently the review of the constitution, and this is coming from the experience of electricity, where there was a realization that infrastructure is going the same way as the water infrastructure is going, and that is why there was a proposal that the powers and functions should be reviewed and responsibility be lifted. So Chair, I'm appealing that if the committee can participate in that process, with the information and experience that you have, you would add value. There's also, Chair, in realization that there were mistakes that were made in the demarcation and in the allocation of powers and functions. There's local government, a process that is being driven by Minister Shikweka, is reviewing its white paper. We have made a lot of input there, Chair, to say these are the things that we would like to see happening. If a municipality is to be awarded a water services authority status, it has to have certain things. In other words, we're trying to address the mistakes, the wrong things that were done in as far as powers and functions are concerned. So we can only do one thing, and a question has been asked. It is to regulate. However, how do you take a municipality that doesn't have any revenue, that doesn't have technical skills, to court? It's not going to bring water to the people. So that is why we're placing so much emphasis to providing that kind of support. So in a nutshell, we are saying, and I would like to appeal for the committee's patience. We're trying to do a lot, but because of the challenges, it's like a drop in the ocean. The things that my team is saying is doing, they are doing, Chair, on the ground. The amount of money that we invested, what you reflected there is what is happening. In some cases, because we didn't have funding for these functions that we're doing, we had to use donor funding. That is why we have been able to do some of the things that we've been able to do. So, Chair, I would really like to appeal to the committee not to be under the impression that we're not taking our job seriously. The minister has expressed a wish to come and address the committee on these issues that I've just talked about, experience, about what's happening at local government level, and the current revolt around service delivery has highlighted these issues, and that is why there is work that is being done at high government level, where we are expecting that members of parliament will participate in. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair. You know what? As the deputy DG has been speaking, that's where things go wrong. Once a person starts to tell us about the constitution, and yet we are talking about one government, and yet the crisis is taking place and people are still quoting the constitution, it really, I don't know how I can refer to what is being said here. You wait until there's a crisis situation because of the constitution, until the president is saying, why did you allow the situation? The fact of the matter is, this is the department that deals with water and environmental affairs. Chairperson, put the constitution aside. If you remember one time, yes, this committee actually requested that there should be a joint meeting of the two portfolio committees, because again, this is spilling over to the
the local government portfolio. We requested that we need to have a meeting of this portfolio committee and the local government portfolio committee, so that even that going down, Chairperson, I would even suggest that when we take these, some of these visits, especially maybe to Mthatha, it can be good that it can be done by those joint portfolio committees. We have a meeting with the local government portfolio committee, and traveling and taking these visits, we actually, take them together. Let me also come to what the deputy DG is saying, is that, yes, we'll understand. Yeah, it's 15 years down the line, you can understand that people are very impatient. That these things, I mean, Mthatha has been like this. One of the things, Chairperson, when opposition parties are raising things, the ruling party must not take as if people are bashing, because it also has to do with the skills and also the expertise. It's not going to help us to put people because that they are popular in terms of the speeches and the noise that they make in the platforms, and they are unable to do the job. Because that's another problem. You put people that have got no clue of what needs to happen. You cannot tell me that Mthatha, as the capital, city of the then Transkei, that you tell me that Mthatha is one of the poorest municipalities. It's because the municipality in Mthatha doesn't know what it has to do. Chairperson, you have got businesses that are running, in that. They are supposed to be calling because they don't even know how to, to actually pass the municipal bylaws so that that can be able to help them to be able to recoup some of the revenue that they are losing. But what I'm saying is that the department at the end of the day, they are Department of Water and Environmental Affairs. So therefore, they are actually equally responsible, for that. They cannot adjudicate their responsibility to the municipality. If there's something, they must raise an alarm and make sure that all the responsible stakeholders come together as soon as possible so that the situation doesn't get out of hand as Mthatha is. Chairperson, thank you very much.
By allowing the DG to lead in the responses, that's where the problem started. Because the DG, as she's putting their side of the story at the national level, it takes us back to the meetings that we had with the department. We don't want spokespersons for these regions. They must speak by themselves, because they make presentations, then they must respond. Because now UDG is taking us miles away from what you want to get.
It's not just the DG being national. It's coordinating the province.
Yeah, but that
let's leave it to them to respond. And if you still have something, you can definitely follow up on what they want. Can I give it to Isabel?
Thank you, Chair, honorable members. I think it becomes important for me to explain that in terms of the challenges that I was supposed to refer to, the reason why maybe I would say there was an oversight in detailing on them was that I put a slide that was saying there's been a provincial water indaba being led by the Premier to then come up with some solutions on those. So I think there was an oversight in terms of maybe I was supposed to have started by indicating fully the challenges and then say there is a process that seeks to come up with solutions to them. Chair, I think to first respond to the issue of the backlogs, that it was responded that are these the only number of backlogs in the province as indicated in page 13. I think what we are saying here is that the population of the Eastern Cape is 6.5 million people, and the slide then says 4.7 million people are not served. So it's sort of saying out of the 6.5 million people, it's only a little number of people who have been served, but the majority, which is 4.7 million people, is still unserved. And those people are residing in 1.179 million houses. So in a way, it's trying to show the extent of the backlogs throughout, and particularly that is referring to rural areas, because most of our urban areas are somehow served. And then in terms of the question on the scarcity of water in the Eastern Cape, I had indicated the process in terms of dealing with drought that is affecting the province. Maybe I just need to mention that all six district municipalities in the Eastern Cape are affected by drought. The metro also is not in isolation, because their dams are close to 50% in terms of the capacity. But what has been done is a consolidated plan for the whole Eastern Cape region has been developed that talks to the drought situation, and that plan has been approved. As I was saying, that the process of gazetting, the gazette was supposed to come out today, and the needs in terms of the drought, they are at 1.1 billion. So what has happened parallel to that is the Department of Cooperative Governance has already classified the disaster. So what needs to be done now is out of the gazette that is going to be coming out today or tomorrow latest, it will then take the process of seeking funding from National Treasury for that 1.1 billion. But in the nutshell, it's saying the whole Eastern Cape has been affected by drought. The issue of the BSMC in terms of the institutions, that one is more specific on the provision of water and sanitation in schools. Hence, I was saying it's the Department of Education and Water Affairs talking about the progress on the 183 schools that are supposed to be implemented this financial year. The health and hygiene in those schools that we're supposed to be providing facilities, because the infrastructure goes with health and hygiene awareness as well. And then the O&M, because as much as the department is putting capital infrastructure, there's going to be operation and maintenance requirement taking further the sustainability of the infrastructure that is going to be put in place. So those are that's the committee that seeks to deal with those issues, so that there's going to be sustainability measures in place after the infrastructure has been put in place. Also, the issue of tendering process is talking to the 183 schools that needs to be implemented and fast-tracked. The list of rivers, we will provide that. The list of schools, we will provide that. The issue of Port St. John's, I would say, Chair, it's not only Port St. John's. As I've said, that the challenges are throughout the province in terms of existing schemes that are not functioning, and in terms of the operation and maintenance. It leads to the fact that I've said the municipalities, the majority of them, they rely on grant funding. So we realize that there is minimal that goes to operation and maintenance, but particularly the lack of skills. If maybe I can touch a little bit to say, in the Eastern Cape, we talk about the schemes that were assessed through the Blue Drop status. We had 105 schemes assessed, and most of them, they indicated between 90 and 16% in terms of compliance. And anything that is below 33%, it says urgent improvement is required. And then, and the issue of O.R. Tambo in particular, because it deals with Port St. John's, it deals with Umtat. I think the challenges are there, but what I did was only to refer to the interventions that are coming up, particularly outside from the district. The general issue of the challenges between the district municipalities and the local municipalities, particularly in the O.R. Tambo, because in my presentation I indicated that in O.R. Tambo, the relations are worse than in other municipalities. The challenge that I was putting in case was a situation whereby in terms of the awarding of water and sanitation function status, it's done in accordance with the Local Government Municipal Structures Act. That's when then we need local government to assist us in playing that role, because as a department we cannot say the function must be taken out without involving the local government and therefore taking the whole process accordingly. So the clarity is more on the local government as a department comes in, because the legislation is Local Government Municipal Structures Act and the Local Government Municipal Systems Act. I think it becomes important to share that as much as we have in those challenges in OR Tambo, in the Crisani area, we've seen the district giving the powers of water service provision to the local municipalities. There was a question of the role of the water boards. We as a department, we established the water boards, we've capacitated them, and we assist them. But the challenge is, we cannot enforce them to the water services authorities, which are the municipalities, because they use their own procurement processes to decide whether they want the water boards or not. But particularly in the Crisani area, up to the end of this financial year, they've been utilizing the water boards across, even in rural areas. In OR Tambo, the Amathole Water Board has been involved in the Coffee Bay water scheme, with Umngeni Water Board being involved in the Mbizana, because also Mbizana is affected by water scarcity. And Umtata, the Mtata scheme, the refurbishment that we are doing in Mtata town, is done by Umngeni Water. It's only the Albany Coast Water Board that is not involved currently in the rural areas. I think in general, Chair, is a situation of saying we were not running away to say there are challenges, but it was the understanding that the process after the provincial water indaba is coming up with some processes of then that the province will be able to take forward. Particularly the provincial water plan is going to be inclusive of all the challenges that the province is facing in terms of human resources requirement, in terms of financial resources requirement, in terms of dealing with dilapidated water infrastructure and dealing with backlogs that we need to meet by 2014. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I think I'll rather be quite specific. Just on the sewage blockages in Giani, and the member wanted to know what are the reasons. At this point in time, Chair, I would not be able to answer that one because I need one problem. But in terms of engineering, if the sewage works, the sewerage system, which is the pipe, don't receive enough water, which is a problem now, then the solids actually back up into the pipe, and whenever the water comes, then it blocks, then it gets out in the manhole. So, but specific areas, we can supply that. But that is the likeliest reason. But the other reason is that in terms of the sewerage system, which is the pipeline, the municipality has not increased the capacity, I think, since 1994. They have not prioritized sewerage, so that is one of the problems. And through some of our programs, we were attending to that. Then the outbreak of cholera in Giani. Chairperson, the outbreak of cholera happens where people don't drink chlorinated water. And in this particular case, like many other areas, when the water system runs, maybe the water system is not working properly, then people go to the nearest water available. However, through our health and hygiene, we do encourage people to boil the water or use chick. That's one of the problems we have in this particular area. And here, the in and around area of Giani, they get all their water from Middle Taba Dam, which is, as I've said, currently it's at 1%, I said 5%. And it's possible that at one stage there might be no water into the system. It's not only in and around Giani. What we call the Middle Taba crisis covers approximately more than 800,000 people. What has happened now is that we, together with the municipality, we are rehabilitating, or first, there's 2,000 boreholes in the area. And some of them, the municipality has just left them to be vandalized. So currently, as a department, not only in the region, but also with the assistance from head office, who are rehabilitating 100 of those boreholes. But we are also planning first the area to be declared as a disaster, because there's no other way unless it rains. And we are awaiting that declaration. And if it is declared, then we should be able to source some funds. Our estimate currently is 250 million. Pump water from Nandoni Dam, which is currently 100% full, into the system. It's about 40, 50 kilometers between the two schemes. But obviously, Chairperson, feeding a million people, you need also a big pipe. Quite a. So that is what is currently happening. Drawing water from Nandoni. Nandoni, as I mentioned before, was completed in 2005 and it got filled. In the meantime, the department built a 60 megaliter water plant, which is currently almost finished, to feed a system, what we call an international resource. Nandoni Water Scheme, the pipe system, which we are currently still building, the pipes, and it will then feed. I'm not actually including the 800,000 people. This is people beyond, they're not actually, they're on this scheme. So, once that is then complete, together with the municipality, we should be able to solve, let me say, partially the problem. One of the problems I've mentioned is that if a scheme is, this particular water scheme is more than almost a billion rand, there are certain requirements. One of the requirements is that you need a certain skill, for instance, of a chemical engineer. At this point in time, we've just hired a very, very young one, but the municipality will have it very difficult to hire that if we transfer that. It's also part of the seven schemes. No, it adds on to the seven schemes which are beyond the 100 million rand, which Parliament has said we should not transfer unless we are very certain that it won't be run down the ground. So that is what Nandoni and the others can do. How open do water and sanitation programs? Currently, we've got teams. There's a slide there which indicates we've got certain teams. We've got teams at the regional office, teams at the district offices, which monitor directly this program. There's one challenge. Funding is given to the municipality. I must admit, most of the municipalities do work properly. But the municipality which the honorable member mentions here, by law we have to transfer that much. What we have done as a department was actually created a water crisis committee within, so that we can monitor if this funding really goes into that. Honorable member, last year we had the SCOPA meeting of the National Parliament, which actually scrutinized the figures, especially the operations figures. In Limpopo, most of the municipalities depend on the department. We are transferring to all of them about R1 billion for operations and maintenance. What the scope found was that some of the money is then turned from O&M into CAPEX, basically creating a liability, a big liability, because you're putting infrastructure which you can't maintain, since you're using the O&M money, which is R1 billion, into that. So this one, we're busy correcting, and most of the municipalities have complied. In fact, I'll say about 100%. The borehole water in Guyana is not consumable. Chairperson, I have a graph there indicating the water level. During El Nino, the water levels went as far as about 20 meters down. So when the water level in the boreholes go down, the concentration of minerals simply becomes high. And then for that we need some kind of purification. So I must agree with you, because this is a natural phenomenon. It's a cyclical, as long as we've got drought, that part gets into play. So what we advise communities to do, please boil the water. That separates the heavy metals, which is sometimes in there. Where we have resources, maybe we didn't mention it there, the department or the minister gave us, as a department, an extra R18 million to purchase package plants. So some of these package plants will then be diverted to what we call basic treatment of the water for drinking purposes. Since 1994, we drilled, well, almost 1,000. And currently, 4,000 of them are not operating. It's a combination of reasons why some of them are not working. But the main one is that the machinery, the bowl itself may be pumped, it's vandalized, stolen, and somehow the municipality is unable to replace that. Where we've got a large number of them, we encourage them to have security, physical security, to ensure that none of these are stolen. But it's such a vast area that a small municipality will not be able to provide everything we need. Hence, we've got so many boats which are unused. Then the specific areas like Koankoa, Dan Village, where there's a serious sanitation problem, especially with leakages. I think this one is specific in the sense that I might not have a full answer currently. But what we, in the case of Nkongkoa, which is a large town, we've done all the studies which are necessary to make the sewage works work properly. The first one is that the sewage works is too small. Currently, its capacity is exceeded almost by double that. And that means more investments. Chair, the investments are through the NIC process, and I think they are busy looking for that, the funding for that. Chair. All right. I would like to say maybe a little bit on what the DDG said. We are on the call phase. We have to follow the rules. Sometimes I know we are urged to get a little bit out of the box. But there are some areas where it's quite difficult. Let me just indicate this one. In terms of the Water Services Act, we as a department, if we have to do what they call physical intervention, we have to go through the NEC for local government. And the MEC together with the Minister of Local, Provincial and Local and our Minister will then give us certain rulings. One of it is very, very difficult. We are only allowed to intervene for only 14 days in terms of the Act. That is certainly not sufficient to make any dent. Every time we have to, every 14 days we have to change, come back. Okay. So that is one of the biggest problems in terms of utilizing the resources like that, especially if it's internal resources, unless there's a certain agreement regarding to that. So, Chair, I think especially that one, because if I overstep and do what is not correct, then I obviously have to account for that, even if it's possible in some cases. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Matugan. Mr. Kamps, do you have anything to say? Nothing. Yeah, members, coming to the second round of questions. I've noted Morgan, Wienge, Mama Musa, and Matugan, but I'll take this opportunity to also raise some few questions back.
My first question relates to the war veterans issue. You did indicate that you have assisted war veterans. So can you unpack that statement? What do we mean by war veterans? Because one would think of people who fought in the Second World War or people who were in the MK and APLA. And there are some other people who also can call themselves war veterans. Secondly, you did mention that Albany Coast Water Board is the only one which operates reverse osmosis. Now, I just want to know the volume of water produced by them. And also, is it cost effective? If yes, why don't you make more use of it? The other one goes to Limpopo. Mr. Matugan, you did indicate that the license to acquire water from Loskop Dam for distribution in Moose has been acquired. Now, because most of the infrastructure in Moose has collapsed. So in your interaction with local municipalities, what are your plans? Because we can't just get bulk when the reticulation itself has collapsed. You know, in the village of Ntwani, when they scrapped the road, the pipes lay bare, you can see all the pipes. So how do you bring water when the pipes are just above the ground? So what are your plans with the local municipality to make sure that these bulks also find a good reticulation on those villages that we intend to supply water to? Mr. Morgan?
Thanks. Thank you, Chair. Just to go back to the questions on the Eastern Cape, there are very specific questions which I do think can be replied to that haven't been replied to. First is a question on the pilot plant in Alexandria. I'm very keen to know whether you will accept this, whether you, it's up to you to regulate it, whether you will allow that water to enter the town's supply, which I certainly hope you do. So, I'm sort of, so you know where I stand on that particular issue. The second issue is I accept the different roles that, you know, local government has to play and water affairs and so on. But what I'm more concerned about is that, I mean, I raised a whole lot of issues with Port St. John's and Tata, and the answer I got was actually, well, the answer was, to paraphrase it, well, actually those problems are everywhere. That's what the answer was. So, I mean, that doesn't reassure me in any way at all, and it doesn't reassure the dozens of people that I took the time to speak to 2 Fridays ago when I was in those 2 places. I'm only doing what is my constitutional role, and that is to raise issues in the portfolio committee of issues that I am aware of.
And I always think it's better to speak of things that you know firsthand. So let me break it down firstly. What is the view with regards to the using of HTH in a water treatment plant? Is it allowed in small quantities? Is it allowed at all? And did you know about it? And now that you do know about it, is there anything you are going to do about what I have brought to your attention with regards to the use of HTH? I understand the different roles here. I mean, on the one hand, the water department is quite happy to say all the stuff that's all the work that's going to be done on these plants. But when I ask the question, engaging in it in the detail, it sort of passes back to other levels of to other spheres of government. So I'm interested to know what the turnaround time for the rehabilitation of Mthatha sewage plant is. And let me give you the answer that I was told when I was there, and I spoke to a very helpful gentleman who works there, and you could see he works under trying circumstances. He said 9 months. It will take 9 months to rehabilitate, and so I want to know whether you can confirm whether that is indeed the case. I think it's a reasonable turnaround for Mthatha, for that particular sewage plant. A lot of work has to go into that particular area. Let me give you another question.
No, Mr. Maria.
These are questions that I've asked that haven't been answered.
Excuse me, Mr. Maria.
They haven't been answered.
No, I'm not denying it. I'm saying we are left with only 15 minutes, and almost four members have raised their hands. Can't I just...
I would like
you, comrades, to at least one question per member, mm-hmm. so that at least everyone has a chance. If there's still time, I'll definitely give you...
I accept the time. My problem is that the questions I asked initially were not answered. So I won't ask a single new question. I'm concerned that the way that I was treated in the answer in my initial set of questions was poor, and that my respect for the position I hold as a Member of Parliament, that hasn't been upheld by the official. And those questions, I want answers to. I don't want to answer any questions. Ask any new questions. If I can just do the last point. I spoke about the municipality. Now, this is a role you can play. You can issue Section 19 three directives against municipalities where they pollute watercourses. They are bulldozing rubbish into the Mthatha River. The municipality. They take a grader through the informal trading area and they bulldoze it into the river. I've seen it and I have the photographs on my computer now. Mm-hmm. What will you do about it?
Hi, Chair. I'm sure I've been in Parliament for the past 10 years and it was the first time, Chair, that I've been told by an official that what I'm saying is not correct. In fact, when I'm talking about the issues that affect the community that I'm serving, it's going to be for the first time when I'm proved wrong to say the cry that we have here is something that is unfounded. If the response from the presenter has got anything to go by, I think DG Chair was correct to come in because she knew exactly that what we were going to get. Utukuma Lucy Azazaki. She understood Uguti were not going to get what we wanted to get. Hats off to you, DG. Because it's a technical and correct response to say technically we don't have that particular function to do on this particular matter, and then we speak on that. But to say no, in Coffee Bay we are doing 1, 2, 3, whereas we know that there is nothing that is happening. The water schemes that are being referred to are water schemes. We are not talking about schemes here. We are talking about water coming out of the tap into the mouth of an individual. So, Chair, I'm happy that we are in agreement that we need to go to these areas and the department must assist us with the names of the words. We've got 32 words in KSD, that is Mtata and Mtanduli. We get the areas where Amatola water boards and Umgeni are providing water. I'm waiting for that day. We get that information and we go that. I think it will be proper for us to say the officials must understand that we are commissioners of oath. Whatever we get from the officials, it's like someone saying anything under oath in parliament. So all what has been here, what has been said here, and Honorable Undute has actually attested to a number of these issues that affect us. I think it was quite enough for the DG to say it is because of this constitutional arrangement. But the question would be to say you have a responsibility to monitor and oversight and give oversight over a department. So what have you done? We'll be asking only that question, not to justify something that is not there. And what is that?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I just want to know from the department how often do they clean Limpopo River to limit cross-border diseases, especially that we are bordering Zimbabwe and we are now nearing a cholera time. And also to say, last week a distribution of the documents by the department, the blue drop status of Limpopo. It's shocking to say what is the department doing about that report that has been presented by the department. Thank you, Chairperson.
Well, mine is that I'm not happy about this thing of roles and responsibility. As I'm sitting here, I'm still saying that I'm not happy about the response. I know that Udwaf office at national and there are these regional offices, but I know that responsibilities of your role zamanzi of or as the water they've been given in district municipalities in Ntombazane Ncapa, when you have started a presentation Kutwangba comes of finisher offended Unomonde when started a presentation she did tell us that we have got 6.5 million and 45 municipalities and seven municipalities who have been given ADC. So why at the same time we are giving the role that district must do ABC, and then when now you're supposed to monitor, and when we're asking what is your role to monitoring, and then we are saying now go back to local government. That's what I'm not happy about it. If your roles have been given, but when I'm asking in monitoring tools, then the role that you have been given, now you refer me to local government. That's what I'm not even fighting with you. I'm saying that it doesn't make sense to me. And in 13 to 14 years in the Lape Parliament, and I know when this thing started of giving this role taken from Udwaf to a district municipality, and when now there are conflicts, we are going to tell that minister saying that the role is in the even minister can tell her that I'm not asking. I know with this role it's given to a district municipalities. I'm not mistaken, but when there are problems, we are saying let's call local government. We know the roles that overlapping to local government. I'm talking about Udwaf national with the regional offices in our provinces, and then I'm saying now when there is this problem of conflict. Maybe I can even say it's a political conflict when the two spheres of government now they are saying, "Hi, you're supposed to give back this to us." But it was this ministry who was saying that take this function to district municipalities. That's what I'm not happy about the answer, DG. I cannot say I'm happy when now there are problems. Local government must enter. What is that?
Chairperson, I'd like to ask from the DD team to say why does it take so long for them to realize that there is a problem in the constitution, and because this is not only about UMTSA, it's also happening in all the rural areas in the country, especially also in KZN, as we have. I have to recall that the chairperson, Ms. Sochu, used to ask the department whether there is a need to review the act or the legislation so as to fast track the service delivery in the area of water and sanitation. Thank you.
We are running against time. Can you quickly respond to the question?
Thank you, Chair. Honorable members, the war veterans that we are referring to, there's a group in one area close to East London that we are working with, working for water. So there are people who group them together and call them war veterans. Our understanding is they are not the people who were involved in the World War II's and et cetera, are the people who have been in fact, because I'm not very sure whether they include both MK and ABLA, but it's the people who have been involved in the struggle, who have been involved in the struggle. And then in that particular project, because it's around East London, they live in UMTSA, they group them together and they applied to the Working for Water program. And then the Albany Coast Water Board that operates the reverse osmosis plant, the volumes, I don't have them with me right now, but we can always check the volumes. But in terms of cost effectiveness, because they are using the water from the sea and they are just seated along the sea, so it becomes cost effective for them to use that rather than getting water afar from where they are serving the communities. And then the issue of the Alexandria plant. Currently, the department uses the South African national standards in terms of looking at compliance. Thank you, Chair. The Alexandria plant, the department currently is using the South African national standards in terms of compliance. The plant is still on a 3-month trial, and we are also waiting the application from the municipality themselves. We haven't received the application for them, but we are aware that it's still on 3-month trial. Maybe before I was supposed to have indicated to this to say some of the questions as I was writing them, I wrote them together with the Limpopo, so I didn't pick them up as I was responding. And then in terms of the Port St. John's, we had a meeting, the department, the OR Tambo representatives, and the mayor and the municipalities of Port St. John's on the 6th of August. And we deliberated on the challenges that they were facing, both the rural areas, because they were also full ward councillors of those areas, and then the town of Port St. John's. And the process now is on developing a holistic action plan for the whole area, because what was done was the OR Tambo District Municipality sent the water cut and put some tanks, particularly for the town. And then they tried to put a little bit of sand, what you call those sandbags, in terms of ensuring that the water stays in the dam so that they can abstract. The issue of the bulldozer, I'm sure, is one issue that we have to investigate and get more information on it and deal with it accordingly, including with the issue of the rubbish that is being put through to Mthatha River. According to our monitoring, what we know for now is that the Mthatha River, just below the wastewater treatment works and below the Langeni Forest, we know that the water quality is very poor in those areas. The issue of the use of the HTH, as a department, we are aware that it is normally used in rural schemes. We're not too sure whether the room that you've entered into is what they use in their rural schemes. We have to investigate further, because in rural schemes they normally use it, because the schemes, they do not have automatic chlorinating systems. So they use it as a manual way to chlorinate that water. But there are measurements and requirements that need to be followed. So I think after this meeting we'll then have to investigate it further. And then the turnaround for Umthatha sewage plant. The issue of Umthatha sewage plant, what we are aware of, the whole sewerage infrastructure of Umthatha, it requires 239 million as per the figures of 2008, estimated figures of 2008. And what we have funded as a department, that is still going to start, is 25 million. So I do not believe that the 9 million turnaround time will be really, nine months turnaround time will be really realized. But what we were saying is, the key issues, the critical issues that at least will limit the pollution and ensure that the environment of the people should be dealt with. Currently, the OR Tambo is preparing an action plan in terms of how that 25 million is going to go, where is it going to go, and we will monitor the implementation. And we are also looking at seconding one of our engineers to OR Tambo, because one thing that we picked up in our meetings, because we continuously have meetings with them, was that they do not have a senior engineer that will assist them in dealing with the holistic issues in the whole OR Tambo area. So we are currently developing terms of reference to second that for the period of 6 months. Meanwhile, the same engineer will assist them to headhunt, because they are saying they've advertised and they couldn't attract people. I think Honorable Dr. Liang, really I would like to really apologize in this case. What I was mentioning was then the Crisan in terms of the involvement of Amatola Water, whereby they were involved in rural areas, not in the OR Tambo district. But what we will do as per your request, we'll provide the schemes whereby the water boards are involved. But in terms of the Amatola Water, it was involved in the rural areas of the Crisan, not in the rural areas of OR Tambo. And OR Tambo is just a Coffee Bay town, which is the Balskin, and the Mbizana town, which is Balskin, which is Mungeni Water in Mbizana town, and Mthatha town, and then it is Amatola Water in Coffee Bay, that sort of urban center, whereby it's a bulk infrastructure project. I think I'm taking it from the honourable members, the issues of the involvement of local government, but as the member, the honourable member has said as well, that when it comes to the issues of intervention, because the monitoring on its own is fine, but then when we have to intervene, that is like if you put your similar section 139, then we cannot as a department without because it's done in terms of the Municipal Structures Act. I think, Chair, thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I think let me start first with currently, the plans for bulk systems are being put in place. But in terms of the reticulation, we have asked the consultant to look at that, because this is an existing reticulation, and I must agree with you, it has been vandalized in many, many places, not just by people, by development. So what we're saying is, whatever we suggest there, it must be very, very, very possible. We don't want to put in a new system while the old one, in some places, is still okay. We are also having rainwater, which is assisting in the whole scheme, which is the Western IFL. And part of their function is to look at the bulk and also to do what we call retail. Retail is the reticulation. And this part also falls into their ambit. Chairperson, the other question is, how often does the department clean the Limpopo River? Limpopo River is a very, very large river, but half of the year it's not flowing at all. So during that part when it's not flowing at all, we actually look at the places where there is a sewage into the river. From the South African side, there is no sewage getting into the river. But from the Zim side, till about March, their sewage was flowing into the river. What we have done as South Africa, we have actually diverted this sewage into their, let me call it the brand new unused sewage ponds. They're even much better than ours in Limpopo. They were very good ones, but unfortunately they were not managing that. But through our efforts currently, there is no sewage getting into the river from this particular source. Basically, Chair, that's what we're doing, and what is Limpopo doing about the blue drop status? Well, I agree with the principle of the blue drop status, but why you don't get a good status? It's either you have got no status or you got a status. Is that you must take a certain number of samples per month. Now, if you cannot reach, let's say it's 100, and you could only take 93, you won't get the blue status. So that is one of the issues. Now, let me just paint the Limpopo problem. In Limpopo, currently, we have no accredited laboratory. So all the data which ourselves as a department, also the municipality takes, has to be sent Joburg, Pretoria, even Cape Town for us to get that. That is a big challenge which we have. In the past, Polokwane used to have that status, but they've lost the status because they've lost the staff working in there. Just to make it worse, during the cholera outbreak, just our what we call logistical costs, that means transportation cost of samples, cost the department not less than six million rand. We do have two brand new universities, but they are not accredited. We have also, maybe as a department, also applied to have our own laboratory to avoid all the huge logistical costs in terms of this. And we hope to get that going quite soon. That will be